All right.
Nick!
Gentlemen!
Nick's your buddy. Kind of guy you can drink a beer with.
Start your engine!
My papa's son wandering out a smoking gun. Now some of you would live through me and lock me up and throw away the key, or just find a place to hide away and hope that I'll just go away, huh. But I feel alright, I feel alright tonight, feel alright. I feel alright tonight. And I bring you precious contraband and ancient tales from distant lands.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here. And it's a Friday morning. Yeah, Friday morning. Everything that we do on Fridays are our regular features here. You Big Dummy, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, and Fly Jams Friday will be happening. And you can call us with your requests later on. And you can also call or text us throughout the entire show anytime you want to jump in on the conversation. It's 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Yeah. And you can also follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show. Stay connected with us on Facebook, too, at facebook.com/Nick D Show. So there you go. Hey, coming up on the show, we got some food topics to talk about. What's the best burger in Chicago? The Chicago Tribune wrote a piece about it. Nick Kindlesberger wrote a piece about it, and they narrowed it down to 25, and it's from dive bars to fancy hotels, and it's 25 burgers that have made the list. And then we're going to talk about the best grilled cheese sandwiches in Chicago. The Chicago Magazine put together that list, so some food stuff coming up, and I'll tell you about a rotating global menu for McDonald's, and that is coming up as well. And we're going to talk about these weird and terrible jobs that celebrities had before they got rich and famous, and some of them are really weird. And that, I want to open up the phone lines and the text lines to you guys. What was your first job, or your worst job, or the weirdest job you ever had? And I'm screening a Jimmy Stewart movie, a classic, on Tuesday night called Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. One of the best movies of all time. And so I thought we could talk a little bit about Jimmy Stewart this morning and talk about his best performances and your favorite movies with Jimmy Stewart in them. And then all of our regular Friday features. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. And I'm working with a producer I've never worked with this morning. Why don't you introduce yourself to everybody?
Hello. I'm Ashley Byhun, and I'm excited to be here because your show is so fun and so funny. And looking at the rundown, I'm like, this is going to be great.
Oh, well, thanks a lot. Thanks for doing this. I appreciate it.
I'm excited. I'm a night owl, so I'm all for it.
That's good. Very, very cool. Well, we're here till 5. I hope you know that.
Oh, I'm ready.
Okay, cool. Cool. And so what's your background? Where are you from?
I am from Oak Brook. Mm-hmm. And right now, I'm currently still a student over at Lewis University. I'm 21. I have one more semester, and then I am free. Mm-hmm. But I am studying broadcast communications and marketing. So if one doesn't work out, I have a backup.
There you go. Are you having fun?
I am. It's really fun. It's interesting to mix the two majors together because you can use marketing almost anywhere, but using it in a media form is way more fun than like in your typical everyday desk job area.
Sure. And how long have you been working with us here at GN?
About 9 months.
Wow. You having fun?
I am. It is so fun. And I love meeting new people. Mm-hmm. And every single time you work, you meet someone new. So I think that's always so exciting because you never know what you're going to get.
And you're basically, you've been working kind of around the clock. You've been working on a lot of different shows at different time parts, right?
All over the place.
Yeah. First time working with me, though.
I know. Yeah. I've seen you around, though. We never made that connection, but we're like, hello.
Hi.
And that was pretty much it.
Yeah. A lot of the times that I've seen you is when I would jump in and do crosstalk with Carl and Lisa, because you've produced their show several times.
Oh, yeah, they're so fun, too.
Yeah, they're great. And so, you know, that's the only time I'd ever see you. I kind of waved to you through the window.
Yeah, we just waved.
Yeah. But now you're working with me, which is cool.
I know, it's
very,
exciting.
Very cool. I love your Hawks jacket, by the way.
Thank you.
Yes.
My mom got that from an ex-boyfriend, so I got to acquire it. But that's how I got that one.
That's a good story.
Yeah.
Mom's got it from an ex-boyfriend. Okay. Very, very cool. So anyway, this is Ashley, everybody. And she will be producing this morning. And then you get to be a part of the regular Friday features that we do, including you get to vote on who you think the biggest dummy is this week.
Oh, I'm so ready for that one.
This is when we read real news stories of real dumb people doing real dumb stuff. We read them. There's five of them. I read them. And then you vote, I vote, and then we have a caller come in and be the third vote. And sometimes that's the deciding vote if you and I are split on one. So, and then Straight Outta Context, you will be playing all of the Straight Outta Context. And that's when people listen to this radio station 24/7, whenever anybody at any time says something that they can pull out of context and it makes you giggle and it's a little dirty and it makes you laugh like a 9-year-old. You jot down the day, the time, who said it, and you send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. And then we have Nick D Show Spies. If I am mentioned at any time, 24/7 on any show, or the show is mentioned, my show is mentioned, jot down the time, who said it, and we want to know about it. You're a spy. And again, send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. There you go. So welcome, Ashley. I'm looking forward to working with you this morning.
I'm looking forward to working with you.
Awesome. Okay. And Vic, I've never worked with you. Oh, yes, I have.
A few times.
Hi, Vic.
Although I've never worked with Ashley either, I don't think. I think probably just seen her like in passing.
In the hallways and stuff. Right. Yeah, this is
I follow welcome. You on the Instagram.
Right. I follow you as well. And welcome to the best show at the station, the best shift as well.
Oh, wow. Look at that, Vic. He's a
well,
little,
you know, we got
he's a little biased because this is the show that he works on. So
right. Maybe a little biased.
I'm a little biased, too. I happen to love this show as well. And yeah, so we have a good time here. Plans for the weekend? Vic, what about you?
Well, Jeannie and I are going to have the second back-to-back, you know, it's back-to-back weekends with no kids, no ties to nothing. So
wow.
We're just going to probably do some personal things, Nick.
And hang out.
Yeah.
All right. There you go. We'll have a fun weekend.
Thanks, sir.
Ashley, what are you doing this weekend? Are you working here at the station?
I am working, and then I'm working on Saturday, and then Saturday night I'm meeting all of my boyfriend's friends.
Boyfriend's friends?
All of his friends. Like every
single one. Have you not met any of them?
Haven't met any of them because they all work and they live in the city. So this is the first time I'm meeting all of them.
This is kind of a relationship step then.
Okay. I know. It's going to be wild.
All right. What does your boyfriend do?
He goes to school with me. He's in school with me as well. But he's a little older because he went to several different schools before he came to Lewis.
Yeah.
So all of his friends are older and graduated by now. So they all have like jobs and live in the city. And
oh,
he still goes
I see.
To school. So
I see.
Two different lifestyles going on. But
are you nervous?
I'm so nervous. I keep calling him. He's like, you're going to be fine.
What? You just want to make a good impression on his friends.
Yeah.
Does he hang out with his friends a lot or is he close
to
them?
No, that's the thing. Like, he doesn't get to see them that often. So when we go, he's going to want to hang out with them. And I don't want to be the old ball and chain.
I gotcha.
To branch out and meet everybody without like latching on to him. So
are you going to like a bar or something?
We're going over to one of his friend's house and we're going to watch a UFC fight.
Oh,
so it should be exciting.
Big fight. Yeah, that's a big one. I think John Jones is fighting.
Wow.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting.
I don't follow the UFC, so I...
And neither do I. Some of you sitting there like, what just happened? And they're going to be like, shh.
Just be quiet, because let's watch these two guys beat the hell out of each other.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, that sounds like a fun weekend.
It should be fun.
Good luck.
Thank you.
I know sometimes that's really weird. It's not as... Have you met his folks yet?
I have. I
okay.
have
how long have you? How long have you been dating?
We've been dating for about 2.5-ish months, but I've known him for like 2 years.
Oh, I see.
So I've known him for a really long time, but I met his parents pretty early on in our relationship.
Yeah.
And then I'm meeting the friends, which is more nerve-wracking to me. Parents
is that
love
right?
me.
Really?
I got the parents down.
Yeah.
Friends that, love me too, but it's different.
That's always the thing. I've always gotten along with my ex's parents better than my ex's. I've been married twice, and especially the two times I was married, I was really good friends with especially my second wife. I was really good friends with her mom. Her mom and I got along famously.
You just text all the time.
We still do because she's a massive Hawks fan.
Oh, there you go.
She's like, I think she's going to be 80 this year, and she watches every Hawks game, and we still text even after you know my ex and I got divorced. We still text during games. Yeah,
it's so fun.
Yeah, she's awesome. She's really cool. Well, that's good. That sounds like a fun weekend. Yeah.
I'm ready.
Okay. All right.
Kind of.
You sound ready. All right. I'm just going to go. I'm going to a couple of movies this weekend. I'm going to see. I have to go see that. I want to make up for it because I didn't see it last weekend. I'm going to see that the movie about Paige, the WWE wrestler that The Rock produced the movie, and it's her life story. It's called Fighting with My Family, and it came out last week, but I didn't get a chance to see it. And then I'm going to see Greta as well, which looks really good, with Chloe Grace Moretz and Isabelle Huppert. It's a thriller. I think Isabelle Huppert plays a nut and like lures women into her house, and Chloe Grace Moretz gets involved. So, and it's directed by a guy named Neil Jordan, who's one of my favorite directors, and he hasn't made a movie in a really long time, and I'm very excited about it. He's a very, very Irish and a very, very good director, and I'm just very excited about him, you know, making a movie after a very, very long time. I saw it because I didn't even know this movie was coming out. I didn't know until like about a week ago.
That's the best feeling when you're like, I don't know what to do this week. Oh my goodness.
Well, I'm looking, and I got to review them on my show Monday morning because we do the Monday morning movie reviews. But yeah, I mean, last weekend was just loaded with award stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
And then I got sick. So, but it was because he had the Independent Spirit Awards on Saturday, he had the Oscars on Sunday, and Oscar coverage started like 11 a.m. on Sunday. So that was the Oscar weekend, is what it was. So anyway, and then of course, you know, I'm a massive fan of SNL. Always have been. John Mulaney's hosting it this week.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh wow!
That would be his second time in a year and a half. Because he used to write for, he was one of the main writers for SNL. Did you know that, John Mulaney?
No, I did not.
John Mulaney was one of the main writers for SNL.
I believe
He created, you familiar with Stefan? The character that Bill Hader plays?
Yes. He created?
Mulaney and him write those Stefan sketches.
Oh, that's so funny.
They used to write those sketches together. And you know, like, you've seen him do Stefan, right?
Yes.
Where he's like, the best club in New York is, you know, that whole thing?
Love
All right.
It.
Yeah, it's the best. But you know how Bill Hader cracks up every time? Like, he breaks, he laughs every time. This is the reason why. Because Mulaney, between dress rehearsal and the live show, adds and changes the jokes. So as they're on the teleprompter or on the cue cards, Bill Hader's seeing them for the first time. So that's why he breaks all the time.
That's perfect.
Because Mulaney did it. The first night Mulaney did it, he didn't tell Hader he was going to do it. And he changed a bunch of jokes. And, like, Hader just, like, completely lost it. And then it became a bit. It was like, okay, we've got to break Stefan so Mulaney would write new jokes. But anyway, the last time he hosted, he did a great job.
Oh, I got to check that out.
Yeah, he did a great job. So, all right, well, that's coming up this weekend. And I got some food stuff we're going to talk about here. But first is a McDonald's. From the global menu, which is a lot different than what we have here. There are some offerings here that are a little strange. And you say you're from Oak Brook, right?
I am, yes.
You know, the McDonald's headquarters used to be in Oak Brook.
Yes, Hamburger University.
Hamburger,
was over there.
Yeah. And the headquarters itself was there. And they had a McDonald's in the headquarters itself. And that was where they tested out a bunch of stuff. I worked at McDonald's a very, very, very long time ago. And I dated my boss, who was
scandal.
Much older. Well, she was much older than me, and she had a kid, and I was like 17. So it was a scandal. Yeah, it was. It was a scandal. So, but anyway, because we started to date and fool around, they moved her out of my store, out of the store that we worked at together. They were like, we got to get rid of her. And so they shipped her off to Oak Brook. And that was when I used to go out and see her. And they have like weird stuff on the menu that they would test out there at the headquarters. So, but there's some strange stuff that's available globally. And then we've got some best burgers in the city. Do you eat a lot of burgers?
Yeah, you know.
Yeah?
I dabble.
Okay. And then we've got the best grilled cheese in the city.
I eat a lot of grilled cheese.
Do you eat a lot of grilled cheese?
Oh, yeah.
We've got four here that are supposed to be the very best in the city. So.
All right,
we're going to talk about some food here right after we take a break here on 720 WGN. 312-981-7200 if you want to jump in. If you've got a burger or a grilled cheese that you love and you want to talk about it, 312-981-7200. Make Sundays your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's Best at 10 p.m. And stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events on See Chicago at 10:30 p.m. on WGN-TV. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studios, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. It's Friday. All the regular Friday features coming up. You Big Dummy, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, Fly Jams Friday. All of that coming up and more. We're going to talk about Jimmy Stewart's best performances and movies and the worst jobs that you've ever had and some of the terrible jobs that celebrities had before they got famous. But we got some food stuff that we're going to kick off here. And if you want to jump in at any time to talk or text, particularly if you have a favorite burger in the city or like a favorite grilled cheese in and around the city, give us a call or a text at 312-981-7200. But first, let's start off with some of the McDonald's headquarters, and they have a global menu that gets rotated, and many of the items are not featured in here in America. Some of them end up coming to America, but some don't. And the latest round of global menu items at McDonald's global headquarters restaurant in Chicago includes the goat cheeseburger from Spain, and then menu items from Japan, the UK, Canada, and France. So the global headquarters restaurant in Chicago, I guess, is featuring these. So I guess you can get them in Chicago, which is pretty cool. But here's what it says. Here's what you'll find in a current rotation, which switches out every 2 to 3 months. Is the global headquarters restaurant, is that down? That's downtown now, right? That's where McDonald's, because the headquarters moved from Oak Brook to, it's nearer to downtown.
Yes, it's closer now.
Yeah. So I
Hamburger University is still there, but I don't think it's. Think it's just.
No, I remember that. Yeah, right. Exactly. I remember that they moved the headquarters from Oak Brook because it had been there so long. Like, I mean, Oak Brook was so identified with McDonald's that, you know,
it was a spot.
Yeah, man. But here's what you'll find in the current rotation: the goat cheeseburger. This is from Spain. A 3-pound beef patty served with smoky onion mayo, grilled onions, lettuce, a slice of goat cheese on a toasted artesian bun that's topped with sesame and poppy seeds. There's a picture of it. It looks really good.
It doesn't sound bad.
I think it sounds really good.
Goat cheese? I like onions, so it doesn't sound bad, but that's a lot of onions. You got the onion sauce.
Onion mayo and grilled onions.
Yeah.
Oh, grilled onions are good, though.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
My mouth is watering.
Yeah. The double barbecue cheese sandwich. This is from France. 2 marinated chicken breast fillets served with thick white cheddar cheese, tomato, lettuce, red onion, pickles, and a Texas-style barbecue sauce on a toasted artisan bun. That sounds like a lot.
Yeah.
That sounds like a lot. Now, this one here, I would be all over this. This is from Canada. It's the Egg BLT McMuffin. So it's a fresh cracked egg. It's bacon, lettuce, tomato, American cheese, and mayo on a toasted English muffin. I would eat the hell out of that.
You want to hear something crazy?
Hmm.
I don't like bacon.
Whoa.
I know.
Don't tell that to your boyfriend's friends.
I don't know why.
Why don't you like bacon? Oh, my God.
Well, back in the day, there was this YouTube thing that I used to watch, and my brother thought was really cool. I don't know what it was called necessarily, but they would put bacon on everything. They just made the extreme foods.
Yeah, that was called, those
idiots.
You know
what I'm talking about?
Yeah. They would get drunk. They would drink Jack Daniels, and they would take, fast food and make lasagna out of sliders.
And I thought it was so cool to watch because the things they would create
very entertaining
cool.
And
but
insane.
But when they would make it with dessert stuff,
yeah,
I think that's what threw me off. I'm like,
but,
cake and bacon?
But those guys did not do bacon in moderation. And I wish I could remember the name of the damn, because it had a name, too.
I'll find it.
These guys who would make, you guys.
Oh, Epic Meal Time, right?
That's it, Epic Meal Time. That's the dudes, yeah. I loved that.
Oh, yeah, it was fun to watch, but after a while I was like, dang.
Yeah. But that's a lot of bacon.
Oh, yeah.
All right, this is from the UK, and it's Cheese Bites. 10 balls of mozzarella and Swiss cheese dipped in an herb batter, deep fried, and served with a rich tomato dipping sauce. Man, that sounds good. And they look good. There's a picture of that.
Hold it up.
Yeah, see it?
Looks good.
All right. And then the matcha green tea McFlurry, and this is from Japan. Vanilla soft serve mixed with crunch Oreos and matcha green tea and syrup. McDonald's headquarters restaurant is the only restaurant in the U.S. where you'll find these international items. And although one can always hope that someday they'll expand the menu to other locations in the U.S. So to me, it's the BLT Egg McMuffin. That's the one
that's the winner.
One, that's the winner for me.
I kind of like the onion sound in one, the one from Spain.
Yeah. Yeah, and the goat cheese, too. No, that's a good one, too.
Cheese balls. Man, they all sound good.
Yeah, they do. They do. They sound good. I think the barbecue chicken seems a little much for me, though. Because it's double barbecue chicken. One chicken is fine.
Don't overkill it.
And I'm not a big green tea guy, so that the one from Japan, not so much. But anyway, you can go to the restaurant here in Chicago, the international restaurant, and get those menu items. God, epic mealtime. I haven't almost like, I wonder what those guys are doing now.
They still do it.
Do they?
I think so.
I actually think they got a TV gig, not just a YouTube gig, but I think they got like an actual TV gig out of it.
I would spend hours watching that.
Oh, no,
me too. I
think that's
what killed it for me. I was like, too much bacon.
Yeah. And they made a point of putting bacon on everything. I mean, that was like their main thing. It was all about bacon.
I'm pretty sure they had their own bacon brand. They were like, we're going to put the Epic Mealtime bacon.
And then, but it was all about Jack Daniels and bacon. That's what I remember. They drank a lot of booze. They drank a lot of Jack. It was specifically, I believe it was Jack Daniels that they downed.
It would be in like everything.
Yeah. They would pour Jack Daniels in it. They would drink it while they were making the stuff.
Chewing raw bacon.
Yeah. Ugh.
It was intense.
Yeah, it's
pretty intense. It was entertaining, though. It was a move.
Yeah. All right, listen, we got a break here because the news is coming up. And then I've got 25 of the best burgers in Chicago. One guy went out from the Chicago Tribune, Nick Kindlesberger. But I love the last part of his name is Erger. That's pretty fun. And he had 71 burgers and ended up picking 25. He ate 71 burgers, tried 71 burgers, and it's from dive bars to fancy hotels. And then he made a list of the 25 best ones. You guys have a favorite burger in the city, in and around the city? 312-981-7200. We'll talk about that after the news, which comes up after this. Buddy, how you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here. It's Friday morning, so that means all the regular Friday features will be happening, from Fly Jams Friday through You Big Dummy and Straight Out of Context and Nick D Show Spies, all coming up. We are going to talk about some really weird and horrible jobs that celebrities had before they were famous, and then I want to open up the phone lines and the text lines to you guys. What was the weirdest or the worst or the strangest job, or maybe your first job? We'll talk a little bit about that too. I'm showing a Jimmy Stewart movie, a classic, on Tuesday night at my film club, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. We're going to pay some tribute to Jimmy Stewart and talk about some of his great movies, because he's got a lot of them. And we'll talk about your favorite Jimmy Stewart movies. We got some food stuff that's hanging on though right now we want to jump into. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk or text. And we're talking about, right at this moment, we're talking about, Chicago's best burgers. And, so Nick Kindlesberger is the author of this piece that ran in the Chicago Tribune. You can see it at chicagotribune.com. And he ran it a couple of days ago. He tried 71 burgers. He tried 71 burgers and then made his list of 25. And so... So, I mean, he took into a lot of he took a lot of stuff into account, and so these are the 25 burgers he came up with. I love this intro. The intro here is he says, right around my 50th burger, I began to dream in ground beef. You'd imagine that devouring so many would result in some fat-fueled nightmare, that grease would have clogged my brain and saturated my bloodstream. But I felt lucid and sharp, closer than ever to understand the mystery of America's favorite food. Call it burger enlightenment, if you will. In January, I challenged myself to find the best burger in Chicago, and to do so, I knew I'd have to eat more than a lot. Though I tried my best, no human could or should eat every burger in Chicago. I made it to 71, which I think is sufficiently crazy for a month of work. For a month? 71 burgers in a month?
Man. I can't even...
I mean, that's like two and a half a day.
Yeah.
Wow. Plus, I never planned to stop. I hope to update this list regularly. New burger spots keep opening, and I still have a group of 50 places or so that I need to eventually get to. So look out for updates. But at this moment, in this quest, this list comprises Chicago's 25 best, ranked from least to best. No dish comes close to matching the burger's all-encompassing popularity. It's everywhere. Chicago may be famous for its hot dogs and pizza, but more chefs obsess over the burger, from the tiniest food stand to the fanciest downtown hotel. You lavish this much attention on any food, and you'll end up with fascinating results. And that's definitely the case here, where one-upsmanship has led to a burger scene stuffed with a wild assortment of styles and sizes, and not to mention prices. So, these burgers vary from size and style to price as well, and they're pretty much all over the place. And he took a picture of every single burger, and they're, you know, I'm going to be starving by the time the time the show is ending. I'm looking at these pictures of these burgers, and they look fantastic. So he took a picture of every burger, this is the number 25. But before that, Joe is in Downers Grove. Hey, Joe.
Hey, how you doing, kiddo?
All right, what's up?
Hey, listen, you know, I looked at that initial thing in the paper in the Trib today, and I said, wow, I want to read this. But, you know, he was severely lacking in details. Did they use prime rib? Did they use this, that, and the other ingredient in the burgers, whatever? He just didn't voice his, you know, opinions, if you will, with no backup.
Well, I don't necessarily agree with that, because I read it too, Joe, and he talks a lot about you know, the ingredients and how it's made and why it's better than some other burgers. Maybe it wasn't enough detail for you, so I don't know.
I might have missed it, yeah, but I was looking for what is prime rib, you know, what is brisket, you know, that type scenario.
Yeah.
And I didn't see it myself, so I might have missed it.
All right. Okay, Joe, thanks for the call.
You bet. Adios.
Take care. All right, so the first one here, number 25 on the list, is the char burger with Merck's cheddar at Paradise Pup. Paradise Pup is in Des Plaines. And you have me at Merck's cheddar. The Merck's cheddar cheese spread, oh, my God, that is so good.
I can taste it.
Oh, it's so good. And it's only $4.49, this burger.
Oh, wow.
This Des Plaines classic knows how to use its grill. The restaurant chars all of the third-pound burger patties until they sport a dark, attractive crust. Plus, of their ample size, the burger still remains succulent inside. I do wish the patties were seasoned with more salt. Fortunately, there's no foolproof way to solve this. Order a burger topped with Merck's cheddar, the extra salty cheese spread that's made in Wisconsin, and that's the way you get the satisfying juiciness, the assertive saltiness from the cheese. Plus, I'm a big fan of the egg challah bun. The only one I've encountered on my hunt. And then you can't do a burger, Chicago burger list without mentioning Kuma's. Kuma's Corner, which does crazy stuff with burgers. But they, the thing about what they do at Kuma's is they name all the burgers after heavy metal.
Yeah,
Axe, which is
awesome.
That place
is so cool.
Yeah, I'm sorry?
That place is so cool.
It is cool, yeah. And it's a legendary place. I mean, everybody's there. Everybody who works there is like, you know, they got piercings and they got tattoos all over the place. And then people. But the thing about what they do at Kuma's, which Nick points out here in this article, is that their style of burger is to pile as much crap on it as possible. You know, like 14 different types of meat. You know, four cheeses, everything has bacon on it. I mean, sometimes you can't even, it's really, some of them are really, really hard to eat. Like, you pick them up and you try to bite them and all
that. And it just all falls out.
Yeah. But he picked the famous Kuma at Kuma's Corner, $14.50 for that burger. So it's $10 more than the burger.
A little steep.
Yeah. No, the burgers are pretty expensive at Kuma's. You know, this is the one that's not as, they don't, you know, put pulled pork and andouille sausage and, as he mentions here, you know, all that stuff on it. So it's the most subtle of the burgers that you can get at Kuma's Corner. The single cheeseburger at Shoop's. And Shoop's is in Indianapolis Boulevard. If you're a fan of Shake Shack, you deserve to give Shoop's a try. It's been serving Chicago's burbs since 1948. Has anybody been to Shoop's? Because this burger is very, very, the picture of it, it's a burger that is clearly seared very flat.
Oh.
And has a crust on it, and it's much bigger than the bun. It's overhanging the bun.
Oh.
Like a multi-million dollar burger chain, Shoops lets a puck of raw beef, smashes it onto a hot griddle, resulting in a patty with an intense dark brown sear and almost overwhelming beefness. So they use a third-pound patty of ground beef. The single is a formidable lunch. The aggressive sear on the meat also means that the middle of the patty often gets cooked to the point of past medium. But it's a good burger. So the single cheeseburger at Shoops.
That's kind of a fun name.
Yeah, Shoops. Yeah. Yeah. Salt and pepper, I believe, would eat there, if I'm not mistaken. Baby Burger at Illinois Bar and Grill. This is 4135 West 47th Street. By the way, if you've been to any of these places or tried these burgers or you have your favorite burger, 312-981-7200. $4.95 for the Illinois Bar and Grill Baby Burger. Looks really good. Another burger that just looks really, really, really good. Only at Illinois Bar and Grill would a third-pound burger be dubbed a baby burger. The famous Chicago burger, on the other hand, clocks in at 13 ounces, which qualifies as absurd. I didn't even try it. The baby burger comes dolled up and ready to go with zigzag lines of ketchup and mustard squirted on the patty while it's still cooking. Nicely toasted bun, deeply caramelized onions, the requisite lettuce, tomatoes, and pickles, and best of all, the meat is juicy, ground beef properly seasoned with salt. The Black Betty at Burger Belly. I've had this one. This is not far from where I live. It's 5739 West Irving. It's Burger Belly. This Portage Park shop brags about making everything it can from scratch. The meat is ground in-house. The buns are baked daily. The effort shows. The meat has deep beefiness, while the flavorful buns stay soft. And plus, the shop understands how powerfully flavored toppings can transform a burger. And that's true of the Black Betty. While I'm not a huge fan to put bacon on top, everything else works, including the blue cheese, the French fried onion straws, and the a buffalo blue sauce. It's a good burger. I've had it. It's a good burger. Burger Belly is really good.
The text line is blowing up right now about Shoops.
Oh, yeah, really?
Yeah, blowing up. Everyone's like, Shoops rocks.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing.
Oh, okay. I have to get out there, man. I've never had it. I mean, the burger looks great. I've seen these kind of burgers before. And I'm trying to remember what city. There's one city, because I watch a lot of the food shows on the Food Network and the Travel Network and stuff like that. I love those kind of shows.
Same.
I love them.
Same.
And there's a place in a city, and I don't know if it's Shoops or not, but they do that thing where they take the ball of ground beef and they smash it down and they, you know, until it's really, really thin, it hangs over the bun. And there was a place that was really known for, perhaps it was Shoops, and I just didn't put it together.
Maybe. Everyone, like, I've had about 6 or 7 texts saying Shoops is the place. I'm like, whoa.
Okay.
Here we go.
So they like Shoops. How about this? The bacon burger at Carnivore. Well, first of all, the place is called Carnivore. Right there, you know. In general, bacon on a burger works well. It works as well as you think it will. Even the crispiest slices go limp next to the warm meat, but they fall off after a couple of bites. But grinding up the bacon and mixing it in with the ground beef, now we're talking. And that's what you'll find at Carnivore in Oak Park, an ambitious butcher shop that also has a small lunch menu. The half-pound patty oozes and delivers a fascinating smoky aroma from the ground-up bacon. So they ground up the bacon into the ground beef. And that's at 1042 Pleasant Street in Oak Park. Carnivore. So, man, that sounds good. And again, the picture is great. the big DMK at DMK Burger Bar. I've not been to DMK. I've heard great things about DMK Burger Bar.
I think I have.
It's on Sheffield. It's 2900 on Sheffield.
Yeah. I have.
And by the way, the bacon burger with the ground bacon at Carnivore, it's $13. And the big DMK at DMK Burger on Sheffield, 2954 North Sheffield, is $14.
At first, I thought you were saying it was $29.54. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, $29.54.
Here we go.
$2,954 for this burger. It's built almost exactly like a Big Mac. It's got the extra bun in the middle, like the Big Mac does. Two beef patties get an incredible sear on the grill. They stack super soft. They're on potato rolls, so it's a potato roll. Oh, man, that's good. Everything's tied together with a creamy and acidic special sauce. All that's missing are the sesame seed, but you won't miss them. So the Big DMK is basically their version of the Big Mac.
Cool.
So, all right, why don't we take a quick break here and we'll come back. What are your favorite burgers? Apparently everybody likes Shoops. That's what we're learning right now. All right, let's take a quick break. And we've got more of the great burgers in Chicago to talk about. And if you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200. And yeah, and we'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGiulio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate Skyline studio here till 5 a.m. It is Friday, so that means all the regular Friday features will be coming up. You big dummy, straight out of context, Nick D Show Spies, Fly Jams Friday. And Ben is in New York on a trip, and so Ashley is filling in for him. First time working on the show. Having a good time?
I am. It's so interesting. I love the topics that you talk about because it's just fun.
Well,
it's
cool.
Just fun stuff.
It's late. Let's just have fun. That's the way I look at it. We got some texts that have come in. We've been talking about Nick Kindlesberger's piece on the best burgers in Chicago. He ate 71 burgers in a month. 71. But think about that for a second. 71 burgers in a month, and he narrowed it down to 25. And
I feel like I wouldn't be moving off that couch.
Yeah, no, that just seems completely crazy. But we got a couple of texts, and we were asking about your favorite burgers. What local burgers do you really, really love? 312-981-7200. 312 area code said that you got to try the Stockyard Burger at Polo's on 33rd and Morgan. It's $15, and it's worth it very much. Bob said, a pub in Westmont, DJ's Bar and Grill on Blackhawk and Chicago Avenue, has a great burger with homemade potato chips. All right. And let's see, we get a caller here. Donna is on WGN. Hi, Donna.
Hi, Nick.
Hi.
Have you heard about Top Notch Burger in Beverly
Yes.
Over on 95th Street?
Yes, I have.
They have the best burgers. They make their beef burgers fresh meat. It's never been frozen. And they have three different sizes. Half pound and three quarter pound. I've never been able to manage the three quarter pound.
Yeah.
But the half pound is killer.
Yeah. Top Notch, I've heard. They've been around a long time, Top Notch Burger.
Yeah, they originally were, I think, in Marquette Park, and then they moved south back in the 40s.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been around forever. I've heard of Top Notch Burger. Absolutely. Very cool.
And their fries are really great, too, and they have real honest-to-God milkshakes and malteds.
Wow. All right. Top-notch burger. Yeah. Okay, Donna, thanks.
Enjoy.
Okay,
bye-bye.
312-981-7200 is the phone number. You can check this article out, by the way, at chicagotribune.com. It's that way, if you go to chicagotribune.com, you can also see the pictures that Nick took of every burger that he ate. And they're really, all these burgers look really good. Like the Bad Apple Burger from the Bad Apple, which is at 4300 North Lincoln Avenue. It's all about the meat at the Bad Apple, and you can tell by the photo. I was given an unseemly slice of unripe tomato they add the condiments by hand. But the meat, sourced out of New York's premier burger butcher, makes up for any of its faults. It has wild beefiness mixed with mineral complexity that's hard to describe. And that's a $12 burger at the Bad Apple. 4300 North Lincoln Avenue. The BNG Burger at the Boppin Grill. The Boppin Grill is at 6604 North Sheridan Road. $8.99 for this burger. Nearly every restaurant with a burger wants you to plop an egg on top for a fee. Personally, I don't think an egg always works, especially on a fat half-pound burger already dripping with grease. But a well-proportioned burger with a skinnier patty is a different story. Boppin Grill's B&G Burger contains a lot of elements: tomato, lettuce, bacon, caramelized onions, jalapenos, American cheese, Thousand Island dressing, beef, and an egg. Yet it's impeccably well constructed. One could even call it svelte. Each bite rings with acid and spice, yet it makes room for creaminess and beefiness. And again, this looks fantastic. There's a lot, and as he said, there's a lot of stuff on this burger. Let's see. The next one is the single cheeseburger at Ah Chevelle. $12.95. Sit at the bar and you'll get an unobstructed view on how this insanely popular burger gets made. On my last visit, I watched the chef shower the patties with so much salt you'd think a blizzard had broke out in the West Loop. Next came a layer of black pepper that almost completely covered the salt. Once picked off the griddle, the two patties get stacked on a well-toasted bun slathered in a heavy Dijonnaise, a creamy Dijonnaise. In other words, Ah Chevelle serves a salt pepper grease bomb. Now, while I wouldn't mind a little more acid to cut through, it's hard to deny the appeal. It's at 800 West Randolph, $12.95 for the Ah Chevelle. And it does look, it looks good. Yeah. There's Don from Park Forest. Hey, Don.
Hey, how you doing?
All right.
Hey, I like the Freeze Burger in Madison, right across from the train station, Metro station.
Oh, okay. I've never had it.
They win several awards in the suburbs.
Ah. Oh, very
it's
cool.
Just, it's basic $6 cheeseburger, bag of chips.
Oh, that works. That's very simple. Very cool. All right. Thank you, Don.
Very nice.
Take care.
Okay.
The original burger at Mini Mott, $9.95, 3057 West Logan Boulevard. Born as a bar-only special at Mott Street. This quick-service outlet in Logan Square allows the public much easier access to the fascinating creation. Its base is a double cheeseburger layer with two slices of American cheese, but the toppings transform it into something else entirely. The meatiness is amplified by two sauces, slightly sweet hoisin aioli and a rich miso butter. Crackly sweet potato frizzles add pops of crunch to each bite. The original burger at Mini Mott. The Acadia Burger at Acadia. $15, $16.39 South Wabash. You won't find the burger at Acadia's 10-course tasting meal, but you wouldn't want to scarf down a burger with the elegant main in the elegant main dining room anyway. Settle in the front bar and try to devour this burger without staining your shirt. The juicy patty is lovingly coated with cheese in two forms, a nutty Gruyere and a funky truffle Mornay sauce. Some bacon onion jam underneath add saltiness with sweet notes. This one looks extra sloppy. There's a cheese sauce. The cheese sauce is oozing all over this burger.
It's probably really good.
I bet it is. I know, yeah.
It's worth the risk.
Yeah.
Staining the clothes is worth the risk.
Absolutely. The RHR Double Cheeseburger at Red Hot Ranch, $4.79, 3057 North Ashland, and 2072 North Western. The Red Hot Ranch makes it look easy. Many restaurants, higher end ones, struggle to serve a double cheeseburger, but they solidly built this one. But Red Hot Ranch understands the importance of proportion. And again, this looks really good.
You know, that is really the key to a good burger, the proportion, like the bread to the bun, or like the bread to the meat, the meat to the cheese.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why Kuma's is insane.
Yeah.
Because they pile everything up.
That's true.
And I've seen, you know, and you watch these, like I said, I tend to watch a lot of those, those food travel shows and stuff. And they do these ones that are just like extreme eating, you know. And did you ever watch, remember Adam Richman and Man versus Food?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know how he ate the stuff he ate. I have no idea. He quit after I think it was the fourth season. He did four seasons of it. And now a new guy is doing it.
Yeah, it's like Casey Webb or something like that.
Yeah.
A new guy.
Yeah. I mean, I remember after the first season, they were interviewing Anthony Bourdain, the late, great Anthony Bourdain. And they were asking him, how do you feel about these other travel shows? Because Anthony Bourdain really was the godfather of the food travel show, and because his shows were brilliant, and he was just he was one of my heroes, Anthony Bourdain. I love them. Anyway, he was talking about how he likes this. You know, he likes that a lot of people are doing it, and he threw out a couple of names of people that he likes, and then he said, "I'm worried about that Richmond kid because of all the crap he was eating." And he gained a significant amount of weight between the first and second season. Adam Richman was was pretty puffy when that second season started, man. He put on some weight.
When
you're taking all those food challenges and shoving a bunch of stuff down your throat.
Exactly.
I don't know. But he did very well. Man, that guy could put it away. Adam Richman could eat. God, I don't know how. Sometimes I don't know how he did it.
Yeah, some of those things are just like, what?
Yeah, especially the quantity ones are crazy. But I'm not a real, like, spicy guy. I hate the really hot stuff. I don't understand how people can eat that. And whenever he took, like, a hot wing challenge or, like, a ghost pepper challenge.
Your eyes just start watering for him.
Oh, my God. You feel so bad for him. The worst was he did, like, the hottest wings in the world, and he had to eat them in a certain amount of time.
Oh, wow.
And then he had to sit for, what was it, 10 minutes without touching napkins or his face. He had sauce all over his face, which was burning his fingers and his face. And he, in order to survive, he had to, like, sit there for, like, 10 minutes or something. And then finally he's able to, you know, and he went in the back after the challenge. He won. He went in the back. He went in the back, and he stuck his face in the ice machine. And he just went in the back of the kitchen, lifted up the lid, and stuck his face in the ice machine. All right, we got a break. The news is up in 8 seconds. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGiulio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. It is a Friday morning, so that means all the regular features are coming up straight out of context. Nick D Show Spies, You Big Dummy, and Fly Jams Friday. We are going to talk about terrible jobs that celebrities had before they were famous, and then opening up the phone lines and the text lines to you guys and your worst and weirdest jobs. And then I'm showing a classic Jimmy Stewart movie on Tuesday, so we want to talk about some of your favorite Jimmy Stewart performances in movies. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We've been talking about this piece that Nick Kindlesberger wrote about the fact that he ate 71 burgers in and around the Chicago area and narrowed it down to 25. He's going to keep this list going with additions. And he took a picture of every single burger and talked about them and rated them from 25 to 1, 1 being the best, obviously, and 25 being not the best. And I wanted to find out from you guys if you had a favorite burger place or a favorite burger in and around the city. 312-981-7200. Yes. So the next on the list is the Community Double Cheeseburger at Community Tavern, which is at 4038 North Milwaukee. According to Chef Joey Beto, the double cheeseburger at Community Tavern is modeled after the offering at the Diner Grill. Of course, the beloved Greasy Spoon in Lakeview doesn't grind its own beef from CDK Farms or top it with a special spiked fish sauce, smoked tomato paste, or a Thai chili. Still, the inspiration is clear. Community Tavern's burger is a messy double cheeseburger, but the underlying beefiness that never seems to end. On Sundays, you can get this impressive offering for only $5 if you sit at the bar, $16 on a regular, at the regular time. And it does look like the double cheeseburger at the Diner Grill. And I've had many double cheeseburgers at the Diner Grill at 4 o'clock in the morning. Back when I was a drinking man.
I missed some of this segment, I think. Can I ask if one's on there, or is that a...
No, go ahead.
Is the Bad Apple on there?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah, the Bad Apple is on there.
I feel very strongly about the Bad Apple.
Yeah,
it's delicious.
Yeah, yeah. No, we did mention it. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Where did it come in on the list? I apologize.
No, that's okay. Let me see. Let me go
back.
I'm
just curious.
Yeah. No, it's on. It's here.
My favorite burger in the city is the Elvis's Last Supper at the Bad Apple.
It's called Elvis's Last...
Yeah, and it includes bacon and a house-made peanut butter, which is not sweet at all. It's delicious.
It sounds delicious. It sounds delicious. The Bad Apple burger at Bad Apple comes in at number 18 out of 25.
Okay.
4300 North Lincoln Avenue. It's a $12 burger, and he ordered just the basic Bad Apple burger. He didn't go nuts.
Well, that's probably the mistake. But it's very good, yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, Bad Apple made it. How about this? Top Notch. We just had a caller call in about Top Notch. The king-size cheeseburger Top Notch comes in at number 10.
Oh, wow.
$9.74. Top Notch, $9.74. Top Notch opened in Beverly in 1942 With, it has an irresistible neighborhood vibe no modern restaurant could ever dream of replicating. It's hard to imagine a dining room with more shades of brown, from the sandy hue of the floor tiles to the dark wood paneling. But the mood isn't the best part. Since the restaurant still grinds its beef daily, the burgers have an appealing juiciness that never tastes excessively greasy. The quarter-pound burger is a fine option, but I've recently converted to the half-pound king size. It's got a better burger-to-bun ratio. So again, another vote for top-notch. 331 area code, send in a text at 312-981-7200. Portillo's makes a good burger. Portillo's makes a good everything.
True.
I mean, I love Portillo's. I particularly love, and I've mentioned this 900 times on the show. The best chili dog I've ever had in my life.
Oh, the chili dogs.
At Portillo's, because I don't know how they do it. And I've been to several different Portillo's and ordered chili dogs at each one. And I don't know how they do it, but sometimes you get a chili dog and there's way too much chili. And it's, all over the bun.
Yeah.
And you pick it up and it shoots out of the sides and your fingers get full of chili. Then you inevitably, maybe you got to get a spoon and scoop off some of the chili, in order to pick it up and eat it. I don't know how they do it at Portillo's every single time and every location, but it always has the exact right amount of chili on the burger. It's chili, it's cheese, it's onions. That's what goes on the chili burger, or the chili dog. You don't need a spoon. You don't need an excessive amount of napkins. It's the proportion between the beefiness of the hot dog and the bun and the chili is perfect. I don't know how they do it. I don't know if there's like a scientific training exercise that anybody who prepares food at any of the Portillo's has to go through, but it's great.
If you are in the chili dog line, you have to master this craft before they put you there.
It's exactly right. 815 area code says road trip to Route 73 at the Brew and Chew. It's the best burger in Illinois. It's a good name for a place, though, Brew and Chew.
Yeah.
847 area code says burgers Charlie Beinlich's in Northbrook, the best. It's been there forever and it's always packed. See, and that's always a good sign when a place is packed all the time.
Yeah, but then sometimes you just want that peace,
Yeah.
You want to go in there and really soak in the burger.
Yeah.
But hey. It's good. You do what you got to do.
How about this? Next one is the burger at Forbidden Foot Restaurant and Brewery, 1746 West Chicago, $16. One easy way to my heart is add jardinera to whatever you're cooking. Forbidden Root Restaurant has the spicy mix of pickled vegetables into its mayonnaise, creating a condiment that's creamy and laced with acid. If every brew pub in Chicago served a burger, this is my favorite. How about the dry-aged Slagle Farms burger at Rootstock Wine and Beer Bar?
Hmm.
954 North California. It looks like, he says, I know the bun appears to be oversized, but it's soft enough to serve as a miniature pillow. It's gently tapped the top. And it compresses easily, but it's the middle is what counts. A flame-grilled patty made of dry-aged beef, which will cook on spot at medium rare. Each bite unleashes beef juices, which are dutifully soaked up by the bun. The patty is topped with smoky and creamy bacon aioli, red onion, and salty cheddar. Some crunchy house-made pickles sit on the side of the plate. The double cheese griddle double cheeseburger at Edzo's Burger Shop. This is in Evanston. $8.50 for the burger. This comes in at number 7 on the best burgers. This is freshly ground beef. You can either buy it on a daily basis or a trusted butcher, but do what Edzo does in Evanston and grind your own. It's raw onion, pert pickles add to the necessary crunch. Number 6, the Stop-In Burger at the Stop-Along at 1812 North Milwaukee Avenue, $12.50. The Stop-Along Burger is modeled on California's In-N-Out Burger, specifically the chain's semi-secret double-double animal style. Have you ever had an In-N-Out Burger?
I have not, but I'm going to Vegas in April, so I'm going to partake and join the...
If you ever... I mean, I've never... I don't... Do they have In-N-Out in Vegas?
I know. Well, it's closed. I think there's one actually in like on the Las Vegas Strip, but if not, it's like a hop, skip, and a jump away.
Yeah,
I can make the move.
I would suggest getting an In-N-Out burger. They're really good. The burger at Cafe Marie Jean. And this is at 1001 North California. $20 with fries and a beer.
Huh.
No surprise here, offering this offering from Chef Mike Simmons. It willfully ignores conventions and trends. It's a butter bun dusted with everything spice. Yeah, it looks weird.
This one looks weird?
Yeah. It looks weird, but apparently it tastes great. Because the bun looks really strange.
Interesting.
But everything is oozing out of the sides. There's onions and all kinds of cool stuff.
I was going to say, back then, I was like, all of these sound so good, so I can't imagine what the best one is going to sound like.
Yeah.
Like, is it going to just sound gross? And it's just so obscure that it's just so delicious?
The Double Fatso with Cheese at Fatso's Last Stand. I like the name. 2258 West Chicago at 750. Chicago has a number of independently owned fast food stands serving up char burgers and burgers grilled over gas-powered grills. I know because I've eaten many of them. None comes close to matching Fatso's, and honestly, I'm a little at a loss for why. Fatso's uses fresh meat, whereas most places toss unfrozen patties. But why do I crave this burger so much more than in absurdly expensive grilled steakhouse burgers? Those places use a certain experience. Fatso's, on the other hand, manages to fuse every element into a handheld package. The smoke from the grill, the fat slice of onion stuck in the middle, and the burger is not greasy. All right, we are down to the top three. Number three is Slagle Farms Beef Burger at Owen and G and Engine. Owen and Engine, 2700 Northwestern, $20. Owen and Engine is an English pub. So how did it end up with one of Chicago's most beloved burgers? Hard work. They grind the meat, all the sources from Slagle Farms in-house. They bake the buns every single morning while cooking. Chefs baste the burger lovingly in butter and beef fat. Oh, man. And then they add some deeply caramelized onions. So that's that. That's the Slagle Farms beef burger at Owen and Engine. Number two, the Loyalist Cheeseburger at the Loyalist. 177 North Ada Street, $16 for the burger. No restaurant in town understands how crucial onions are to burgers as thoroughly as the Loyalist. The restaurant's cheeseburger, known colloquially as the Big Burg, the Dirty Burg, embraces the power of three kinds, raw, charred, and pickled, to add bite sweetness and acid to each bite. Instead of some pretentious bun, it's got a soft hamburger roll. It's coated in more sesame seeds than McDonald's probably has in its U.S. reserves. The meat is ground in-house, combining short rib and chuck with ground bacon. It's a ludicrously fatty patty. And then finally, number one is Burger at Table from Donkey and Stick.
Huh.
Donkey and Stick, which is located to 2722 Armitage. I had what can only be described as a burger awakening at Table Donkey and Stick. Oh, the burger at Table Donkey and Stick. The place is called Table Donkey and Stick. Like any meat-eating American, over the years I've developed entrenched burger preferences, which could lead me to dismiss a burger even before I took a bite. Then I stumbled into this miniature Logan Square restaurant and realized that the burger universe was vast and full of wonder beyond my understanding. Jeez. I'm not a proponent of pretzel buns because they tend to be dense and tough, but this one was astonishingly light, compressing at the slightest touch. The roasted onions and shiitake mushrooms add a deep savoriness. The earthy sweetness of the beef patty already sings bass notes like Barry White in his 70s prime. Speaking of the meat, the in-house beef gets an intense sear, resulting in a millimeter-thick crust and a fat inch of juice-laden meat in between. Instead of American cheese, this one has a funky, creamy Alpine cheese, and a spread, which adds to complexity in every bite. These components work together, simply butting heads for prominence. It has some kind of strange stroke of luck. This all adds up to the best burger in Chicago, and something to be close to a miracle. Table Donkey and Stick. It looks pretty fantastic, too. So, all right, there you go. Best burger in Chicago. The piece, by the way, is up at ChicagoTribune.com, and Nick Kindlesberger put it together. So, all right, we'll take a quick break, and then we're going to wrap up the food conversation with the best grilled cheese in Chicago. There's only four of these, so we can get through this list pretty quick. So, yeah. So let's take a quick break here, and we'll come back. And if you're a grilled cheese fan, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. All right, welcome back. How's everybody doing this morning? 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text if you'd like to join us. And, yeah, we've been talking about food, and one of the biggest comfort foods that you can have is a grilled cheese. You know, you're a kid, your mom makes you a grilled cheese with tomato soup, and that's the classic, you know, 1-2 punch of comfort food. And there's always been, like, high-end grilled cheese, too. Because, like the burger, which was not until, I don't know, 15 years or so ago, not considered, like, a gourmet item. But now, as we've just discovered, you know, there are a lot of high-end places and a lot of big-time chefs who are creating pretty amazing burgers. And so, you can, I guess you can make anything high-end, including, I guess, grilled cheese sandwiches. This came out of Chicago Magazine, and Carrie Scheidler wrote this piece, and she picks the four best grilled cheese sandwiches in Chicago, and we'll start with number four. Number four is at the Same Day Cafe, which is in Logan Square. Man, how many restaurants have been mentioned in Logan Square this morning? I mean, that's just, it's one of the hottest spots in the city, you know? The benefit of baking your own bread, you can create just the right crumb for your country loaf to create plenty of golden brown shatter crisp crevices. And that's $9. Same Day Cafe. Next up is the Sauce and Bread Kitchen, which is in Edgewater at 6338 North Clark. The Sauce and Bread Kitchen, for maximum gooiness, SBK adds a hearty slathering of pimento spread. Oh, I love pimento spread. And a Chihuahua cheese base, $9 there, too. That sounds fantastic. I would eat the hell out of that.
My mouth is just watering.
My God. That's in Edgewater, too. Man. And the Fat Shallot is next. That's at 2468 North Clark in Lincoln Park. $7 for the sandwich. And that's the one that's pictured. There's only one picture. That's the one that's pictured. And it looks fantastic. Mild Munster developed some muscle with the help of spinach and bits of deeply caramelized onion.
Oh.
So it's melted Munster with spinach and caramelized onion. And a classically grilled piece of bread that you can tell was on the grill with some butter, and then it's cut on the diagonal like it's supposed to be, with the spinach and the onions just kind of oozing out. It looks fantastic. So that's the Fat Shallot. And then finally, number one, the Ruin Daily, which is at 3228 South Jefferson Street down here in the Loop. Why confine the cheese to inside the sandwich? This one's coated in a crunchy fried Parmesan.
Yes.
Oh, man.
I'm in.
Oh, man. It's only $7, too. These are not expensive.
Perfect. You know? I'm on that college budget.
All four of these. Yeah. Are you on the ramen budget?
Is that's the budget
you're on? No, all four of these sound fantastic, and I'm just a big fan of melted cheese in general. I don't know who isn't.
That Parmesan, that one's changing the game right there.
The crunchy fried Parmesan. It's coated with crunchy fried Parmesan. Nah, that sounds fantastic. But I got to say, I think the one with the spinach and the caramelized onions is the one that I...
Yeah.
That's the one that I think...
That's the one with the picture, right?
Yeah.
That one's probably... That's how it's selling you. You see it.
Yeah. That's probably what it is. But I bet if I saw this one with the pimento spread and the Chihuahua cheese base, I would probably go nuts over that, too. So there you go. Four best grilled cheese sandwiches in Chicago. And see, they're taking a simple grilled cheese and they're trying to elevate it to an art form. That's what chefs are trying to do. Yeah. I used to eat a lot of grilled cheese when I was growing up. I actually haven't had a grilled cheese in a really long time. And of course, now I have a taste for a grilled cheese because of just, you know, talking about this article. But yeah, grilled cheese, classic sandwich, no question about it. And these all sound great. And they're all $9 and cheaper. The two of them are $9. The Sauce and Bread Kitchen is $9. And the Same Day Cafe is $9. The other two are $7. So, all right. So there are some food stories for you right there where you can get some great classic food here in Chicago. We're such a great food town. This is just such a great food town. And they're doing so many interesting things from small places to big restaurants. So there you go. All right, we're going to take a break here. And then after the news, we got the news coming up here. And then after the news, we are going to jump into these really unusual, really weird, and kind of terrible jobs that celebrities had before they were famous. And I would love to hear from you guys, either talk or text, about the worst job that you ever had. 312-981-7200. So we'll find out about celebrities and their weird jobs before they got famous, and then we want to hear from you. And I've also got some other ones that people posted online about some of the ridiculous and weird jobs that they've had in the past. Everybody's had them. So we'll talk a little bit about that. But some of the celebrity ones are hilarious. So, all right, let's take a break. We got the news coming up right after this. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. Friday. All the regular features are coming up. You Big Dummy, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show, Spies, and Fly James Friday, as we hear every Friday morning. Ashley is producing for us for the first time and having a great time with us.
Heck yeah.
And Vic is in the newsroom, so we're here until 5 o'clock. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5, and my main man Steve Cochran at 6 with your morning drive. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. And we're talking about the weirdest and maybe the worst jobs you've ever had. Everybody's had some weird jobs in the past. But the ones that we're going to talk about first are big-time celebrities. Are celebrities who, before they got rich and famous, had to do some weird stuff to earn money. So, you know, celebrities are not immune of having terrible jobs and weird jobs and jobs that just suck. So here are just a few, and I want to hear from you guys about your terrible and weird jobs. Well, you know, let's start off with Matthew McConaughey, since he's the patron saint of our show. Did you know that he was the patron saint of our show?
I did not. Oh, I do now.
Yeah, I mean, we start the show off with all right
yeah,
every morning.
That's a good point. Yeah,
and I happen to love this movie.
And let me tell you this, the older you do get, the more rules are going to try to get you to follow. You just got to keep living, man. L-I-V-I-N.
That's right. Dazed and Confused, one of my favorite movies of all time. Here's another.
Say, man, you got a joint?
No, not on me, man.
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
One of my favorite movie characters ever in the history of movies, Dave Wooderson in Dazed and Confused. That was his first movie.
Really?
Yeah, it was his first movie.
No way.
Yeah, knocked it out of the park, his first movie.
Wow.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen him in Mud?
Oh, my God, yes. I'm a massive Matthew McConaughey fan. And even you know, I'll even forgive him for that period of time in the mid-2000s when he was doing those really bad rom-coms.
Those are the best, though.
Is it How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days yeah. and Failure to Launch
yeah.
and Wedding Planner? No, he's not in The Wedding Planner, is he?
No. Oh, Wedding Planner? Not yet. Yeah.
Is he in that one?
He's not in Wedding Crashers. That's what you referred to.
No, he's not. That's Jennifer Lopez. Wedding Planner is Jennifer Lopez, and I think it's Ralph Fiennes, if I'm not mistaken. But he did... what was the one with Kate Hudson? Oh, well, he also did Ghosts of Girlfriends Past.
He did so many.
He did. He did two. He did Gold with Kate Hudson. And is How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days? That's Kate Hudson? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So he did like about seven of those in a row. And I still, you know, I still found him incredibly charming. But then that whole stretch. And even now, I mean, what he's doing now, but that whole stretch with Dallas Buyers Club and, and True Detective?
Yes.
Oh, my God. And then you're talking about Mud, and you're talking about so many other... He just did, like, there was a stretch where he could do no wrong.
Seriously?
Yeah.
He's
my, one of my favorites. I just love the guy. And I'm telling you, Dave Wooderson's one of the greatest characters. I mean, every line that Matthew McConaughey has in Days Confused is great. Every moment that he's on screen.
I haven't seen that movie in so long.
Oh, I've seen it way too many times. Way too many times. I pretty much know every line of dialogue of that movie. If you were to play a song from the soundtrack, I could tell you exactly what scene it's playing in the movie.
That's the way to live, though.
Yeah.
L-I-V-I-N. Then you know,
So anyway, so Matthew McConaughey. Let's start with Matthew McConaughey. He was hired by a country club in Texas to set up sand traps in a golf course, and then he was later given a gun to shoot armadillos when they began to eat grass off of the golf course. So he's running around Texas with a gun. Shooting armadillos. That's what Matthew McConaughey was doing.
I can't even picture that. That's so cool.
Yeah.
I mean, not cool to kill the armadillos, but like, interesting.
That's like, what?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
It's just like a really odd job.
Well, your job is that you're going to kill armadillos, is basically what you're going to do. All right, how about Hugh Jackman? Before he was the greatest showman, Hugh Jackman was a children's birthday party clown. And this article has a picture of him in makeup making a balloon animal.
No way.
Yeah. Wearing like the one piece checkered, you know, like clown costume.
Yeah.
With the big puffy collar. I can't see his shoes. It's only from like the waist up, but I'm assuming the shoes are big.
Yeah, the clown shoes.
Yeah. So his last gig was for an 8-year-old celebrant who thought he was crap.
hilarious.
Getting dissed by an 8-year-old, and Hugh Jackman, also one of my favorites. Talented on so many levels, it's kind of scary because the guy can do comedy, he can do drama, he can do action. He's a Broadway, you know. Yeah. He can sing, he can dance. He's seriously, the guy can do everything. He's very, very funny and charming, and also really handsome. And he's the Wolverine.
Yeah. Yeah, he is.
So, did you see Logan?
No. Everyone tells me that, man. I got to watch that.
It's the best. Best. It's my favorite comic book movie of all time.
Everyone tells me that it's hands down, you won't regret watching it at all. No.
Cried my eyes out, too.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's an emotional time.
Oh, my God. I was a mess at the end of the movie. It was a mess. It was a total mess. I'm an easy cry, though. I must say that. I cry at everything. I cry at like Hallmark commercials and stuff. You know the commercial. Here's a couple of examples of commercials that have made me cry. And I'm a weakling. I cried at there's a commercial for. It's gum. I think it's extra gum.
No.
And it's the commercial where the the dad, you know, they're showing the years of his daughter growing up in the house.
Oh, yeah.
And the dad making like little origami like horses out of the you know, the foil that wraps around the stick of gum. So he would make little horses for her, you know, when she felt bad or something, you know, like she had a bad day at school. He would make horses for her, give her a pick, you know, give her a stick of gum, and then out of the little piece of foil, he would make like an origami horse.
Oh.
So, and it's like a montage of years going by as the girl is growing up. So she's leaving for college.
I'm tearing up.
In the final
scene.
You're
like, you and I are both the same, I think.
This is ridiculous. In the final scene of the commercial, she's moving out. She's leaving for college. And he's carrying a box out to help her out. And he drops the box and the lid comes off. And there's like 150 of these.
Oh my!
Of these little horses, I lost it. I lose it every
bawling
time.
I literally started tearing up when you were telling me that, because I can just like I can feel it.
There's another one, and I don't have a daughter, or you know, I've never experienced a father-daughter relationship of any kind. But the another one that just made me bawl my eyes out was an iPhone commercial, and it was back when they were introducing for like one of the first times. FaceTime, where you could actually see the person that you're talking to on the phone. It was a new technology back then. This was, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago this commercial was on, maybe a little bit less. And the setup for the commercial is there's another father talking to his daughter. And she's on the phone, and he's talking to her, and he's trying to get her to smile. But she won't smile because she just got braces.
Okay.
And she won't smile. He finally convinces her, and she smiles. And I cried every single time I saw that commercial. Every single time. So yeah.
I saw a Dove commercial recently, and I cried. And it was like younger girls like trying to feel confident with beauty.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just the way, like the music, everything. Yeah. And I was like tearing.
I've become worse as I've gotten older. Like it's I was much more cynical when I was younger, but as I've gotten older, I cried everything. If there's anything emotional, cry. Have you seen Kubo and the Two Strings?
No, what's that?
It's an animated movie, from the Laika Studios. It's the stop motion animation where it takes like years to make because they're little figures and they have to move the figure one. Take a frame shot, move it again, barely. Take a frame shot. Yeah. So it takes like 2 months to do 5 minutes of film. So anyway, Kubo and the Two Strings is this insanely beautiful movie. By the way, Matthew McConaughey provides a voice.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey, look at that.
But I just, that was the one, every time I see it, well, you know, Pixar movies make me cry too.
Same. Any Pixar short.
Pixar, first of all, you know, I've cried a lot at Pixar movies. I've cried, you know, Toy Story 3 made me cry. WALL-E, which is my favorite Pixar movie of all time. That movie made me cry. The Pixar movies will make you Inside Out made me cry. But I'm telling you, they didn't wait very long with Up. The first 10 minutes of that movie.
Oh my goodness.
It's usually the end of the movie. You know, Pixar at least usually waits till like the last half hour of the movie.
They just wanted to hit you with it in
my
the beginning.
My God. I'm 10 minutes into the movie and I'm a wreck. I'm like, what the hell? But and
oh,
then
the
last Pixar, did you see Coco?
No, but
cried
everyone
like a baby.
Everyone says that.
Yeah.
I'm too scared to watch it because everyone cried.
Yeah,
I'm
well,
like, I don't want to be sad, but I also want to be touched and be like, this is awesome.
It's a beautiful movie. So anyway, I'm an easy cry, which explains why, you know.
Yeah, I'm one of those people where if I hear someone else starting to cry, I'll cry with them.
Yeah.
Like I'm not even sad. I don't even know what the problem is, but they have it in their voice, and I'm like, oh, come on, pull it together, so I don't have to cry.
How did we get to? Oh, we were talking about
Matthew McConaughey.
Hugh Jackman.
Oh, Hugh Jackman
and Logan, because Logan made me cry. All right, how about this? Nicki Minaj. She worked as a waitress in Red Lobster.
Oh.
And then later got fired when she tried to follow a couple who stole her pen.
Oh, my goodness.
For some reason, that doesn't seem very far-fetched to me.
No.
You know, Nicki Minaj chasing somebody or following them a couple because she thought that they stole her pen.
I can't believe they would fire her for that.
Yeah.
Like, it depends on how she was following. If she was sneaking around trying to steal the pen back.
And oddly enough, it was Cardi B who took the pen. That's why I think she was so angry. This is a great one. This is a great one. John Hamm, who is also one of my favorite people. The thing about John Hamm is I'll never forget when I discovered he was funny, because I only knew him as Don Draper, you know, on Mad Men. Very serious. You know, he's kind of a jerk, kind of a dark character. The first time he hosted SNL, he killed it. Like, where did that come from? And now, of course, everybody knows how funny he is. He's hysterical.
Yeah, he was in Tag.
Yeah, he was in Tag. Yes, he was in Bridesmaids, and he was unbelievably funny in Bridesmaids. He's hilarious. Yeah. But, like, I only knew him as from Mad Men. And, you know, he hadn't done much more. But, man, I'm telling you, you go back and watch the first, because he's hosted SNL. I think he's hosted three times. But the first time was the time when you go, okay, let's see what this very dark, dramatic dude can do. He's hilarious, as we now all know. This is a good one. Before getting his big break, John Hamm worked as a set decorator and dresser for Cinemax softcore porn movies.
Oh, my God.
And he said it was, quote, soul crushing.
Oh, my God.
All right. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, like, in the media, you do what you got to do.
Yeah, that's right.
I guess.
That's right. Waiting for his big break, working on Skinamax movies. All right. We're going to take a quick break here. We got more celebrities and their terrible and weird and awful jobs that they did before they became famous. And what about you guys? Worst or weirdest jobs that you've ever had? 312-981-7200. We'll come back and talk more after this. Hey, welcome back. How's everybody doing this morning? It's Friday. And it's Fly Jams Friday a little bit later on. You Big Dummy, Straight Out of Context, Nick D. Show Spies, all your regular Friday features coming up. We are going to talk about Jimmy Stewart and what are your favorite Jimmy Stewart movies and performances. I'm showing a classic movie on Tuesday night. I hope you guys can make it out to the AMC Rosemont 18. Starts at 8 o'clock, and it's Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. It's only $10 to get in. Parking is free. There's a chance to see this classic American movie on the big screen. It's going to be a lot of fun. Starts at 8, but we're going to have some dinner and some food right down the street at Murray Brothers Caddyshack Restaurant. And all of the film club members who have proof that they're going to go see Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, 15% off all of your food. 15% off all of your food. We've been partnering with the Murray Brothers Caddyshack Restaurant now for 3 months, and it's been so good, and so many people have been coming out, and the management's really happy about it, and so they're offering 15% off all your food. So come out, have some dinner, have some drinks before the movie at Murray Brothers Caddyshack, and then just move on over to 2 minutes away to the Rosemont 18, AMC Rosemont 18. Watch a classic Jimmy Stewart movie on the big screen, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. You don't get a chance to see this movie on the big screen very often, and we're excited to screen it. Again, $10 parking is free for the movie, and you can check out amctheaters.com right now to reserve your seats. So go to amctheaters.com right now, reserve your seats. It's this Tuesday night. The movie starts at 8. All right, we are talking about celebrities, and you know, everybody has had terrible jobs in the past and weird jobs and stupid jobs in the past. So we're talking about some of the weird and crazy jobs that celebrities have had before they made it big. So we've been talking about guys like John Hamm and Matthew McConaughey and Nicki Minaj and Hugh Jackman. And so we'll move on here to Orlando Bloom. Orlando Bloom used to work at a shooting range as a clay trapper, loading and launching clay discs for shooters. So he was the guy that would have to pull the thing when someone said, pull! That was Orlando Bloom. You want to hear something insane?
Yeah.
Ashley, are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
You're way too young to remember this. But there used to be, on Lakeshore Drive, there used to be a rifle shooting range on Lakeshore Drive.
No way.
Yeah, like right. You know, I want to say it was at like Diversey.
Oh.
And Lakeshore Drive, right off the lake, and they would give people shotguns, and they could shoot clay pigeons into Lake Michigan. So I remember, you know, driving on Lakeshore Drive as a kid, watching people with shotguns shooting in the air at clay pigeons, you know?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, no, real thing. Absolutely real thing. I don't know how somebody, some lunatic didn't turn around and start shooting at high-rises.
Yeah, for real.
But, no, that was a real thing. They used to have, like, a shotgun range. Right, I think it was Diversity. It was Diversity or Fullerton right on Lakeshore Drive.
No way. I'm trying to, like, picture that.
People standing, you know, right, you know, like, on the green part, the grassy part before you get to the beach.
Yeah.
Just shotguns shooting? Yelling, pull. Boom. Clay pigeon goes into the sky. Boom. They shoot it, and the pellets all fall into the lake. And the remainder of the clay pigeons fall into the lake.
Was it like anybody could go and do this? Or
I'm not sure. I never went.
Okay.
But I'm sure that there was some. Well, it was the 70s when I noticed that, so there weren't that many rules back then. But I'm sure there was a prerequisite in order to be given a shotgun in public.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was their shotguns. Maybe they brought their own guns.
And you just came.
And they were registered, practice. You know, like the people who brought the. Yeah. I don't know. All I know is it's insane to think that there were people with shotguns shooting into the sky on Lake Michigan right off of Diversity.
It's a lot of trust.
Yeah.
A lot of trust in people.
Times have changed, man.
Yeah, for real.
Times have changed.
Just takes one person to ruin the fun for
everyone. Oh, my God. But no, it's a real thing.
Wow.
That was a real thing. And I still vividly remember it. I vividly remember driving down Lakeshore Drive, watching people shoot shotguns into the sky.
Well, that's so interesting.
Yeah, my God. All right, how about this one? A 25-year-old Quentin Tarantino appeared as an Elvis impersonator on an episode of The Golden Girls.
No.
Yeah.
I love The Golden Girls.
You should go back and watch it. I've seen that episode.
I may have seen that episode.
It's if you've seen it, he's one of many Elvis impersonators. The joke was that there were like 12 Elvis impersonators that showed up. So it's one of the, a lot of Elvi showed
Elvi.
Up. Yeah. I went to an Elvis impersonators convention once.
Where there were just like, kinda just felt the, like it?
Well, I love Elvis. And we were like, you know, we were looking in the reader or something, my friends and I. This was 1991, summer of 1991. So I met a girl there and ended up dating her for a long time.
Oh, look at that. She wasn't an Elvis impersonator, was
no,
she?
No.
She was just hanging out.
No, but her name is Leslie.
Huh.
And a lot of the Elvi were trying to hit on her. She's very attractive and was trying to hit on her. And one of them actually used this line. I'm not kidding. He said, "Hey, your name's Leslie. If we get married, you're Leslie Presley." He actually used that line, even though the guy's name was probably Mort, you know, and he made pizzas, you know. But anyway, we went just out of sheer amusement, and it was unbelievable. It was really, really unbelievable. And at one point, there were like 360 Elvis impersonators on stage.
Oh, cool.
And they represented different versions of Elvis. There was thin leather Elvis. There was Jailhouse Rock Elvis. There was fat Elvis, you know, Vegas Elvis. All the Elvi and in between the history of Elvis, the climax of the big night was all the Elvis impersonators got on stage, stage collapsed.
No.
Yes. Stage collapsed, like Elvi everywhere, on the floor. There was big collars and scarves all over the place and sideburns flying all over the place. And then we ended up hanging out because I'd met Leslie and we started talking. And I was one of those people that had no business being there because, well, first of all, it was mostly middle-aged women who were there.
Hey, you're smart.
But I went, No, my friends and I went just like we were being, you know, how you know, it's like we went ironically, you know, like, so.
We're going to an Elvis impersonator convention.
So we go, and then we go to the hotel. It was in a hotel right in Rosemont.
It was here?
Oh, yeah. No, it was here. It was here. Yeah, it was here.
Picturing like Vegas.
No, so that's why we went. It was like ready. It was, we have to go. It's in Rosemont. And so we go, so after the stage collapsed and everything and all this stuff, it ended. And we went to the bar, to the hotel bar, to have some drinks. And there's nothing but Elvi in there. It was surreal. It was really weird. So I meet Leslie. We start talking. And Leslie, of course, gets invited. And her friend. She was there with her friend. And Leslie, of course, gets invited up to one of the Elvi's room.
Oh,
where they're all going to have like a jam session.
Yeah.
So
a jam session.
She brings me up there. And this Elvi's, the Elvi's are not happy because, you know, first of all, the really attractive woman is bringing, exactly, and they're trying to hit on her. They bring in me, and I'm dressed, and this is my early 90s, this is like my early 90s garb. I'm wearing a Public Enemy baseball cap backwards. My hair is down to past my shoulders. I'm wearing a black and white Cubs jersey from 1907, shorts, and Doc Martens. Because it was 1991.
Yeah.
So that's how I dressed in 1991.
Painting the picture in my head.
And, you know, this is not how people who like Elvis dress. So Public Enemy has a famous quote from the song Do the Right Thing where Chuck D just goes after Elvis. goes after him. So anyway, I stuck out like a sore thumb, but I ended up, you know, going out with Leslie, and so it was a very...
So it worked out.
Yeah, it did work out. It did work out.
My
yeah.
brother and I went as Fat Elvis 1 year, and he went as, like, early on Elvis. We were like a tag team for a Halloween costume.
That's pretty
thing.
Funny.
Yeah.
What's really funny is the best part was when any of the Elvis impersonators were up front and they were performing on the stage, there were, like, Elvi in the back going, man, he sucks.
Judging?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, man, I'm better than him, man. I can't wait to get up there and show this jerk up. And then, this detail. I have to tell you this detail. So, you know, when Elvis would play Vegas, he would do a bit where he would, you know, like play, I can't help falling in love with you. And he'd walk to the edge of the stage. This was when he was doing his Vegas and he was in the jumpsuits.
Yeah.
And they'd have a guy standing next to him holding like about 100 scarves. So he'd put a scarf on. Elvis would put a scarf on, wear it for a couple of seconds, and then hand it to a screaming woman in the front row. This was just a bit he did. So some of the Elvi at this convention, who, by the way, are not Elvis Presley, they're just dudes, would do that part in their act. The Vegas guy, yeah. The Vegas guys. So there was a sign on either side of the stage that clearly was made, you know, for this convention that said, please, only one scarf per person.
Oh my gosh.
And I just thought that was the funniest thing ever. It's like some dude, you know, who probably works at a Walmart is on stage putting a scarf on his neck and women are fighting over it?
Exactly.
Oh, my God. So, anyway, all right, we got a break here. More weird and ridiculous and stupid jobs that celebrities had and you've had. 312-981-7200. The news is up next. How's everybody doing? Welcome back. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here till 5 a.m. Friday morning. And so that means we're going to hear our regular features, You Big Dummy, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, and Fly Jams Friday. Our phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk and text. And we've been talking about terrible jobs, weird jobs, unusual jobs that celebrities have, and we would want to know which ones that you guys had. What were some of your weirdest jobs, maybe your first job or a terrible job? 312-981-7200. And we've been telling you about some celebrities and their weird jobs before they got famous. Everybody's had to do stupid things to make money. How about Chris Hemsworth? He used to clean breast pumps. Before making it as an actor, Hemsworth used to clean rented breast pumps from a pharmacy. He had described the job as the worst one he's ever had, and that because in order to keep the machines clean, he had to wash them all by hand.
You rent those things?
I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, neither was I.
I would say that I would rather have one of my own if I were going to have a breast pump.
If you were going to need one.
Yeah. I don't like, I wouldn't, I, if I were a woman, I wouldn't want to share a breast pump with some stranger. But as long, hey, listen, if Thor's cleaning them, then you know it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
So, Amy Schumer, before her career took off, she worked a summer job as a pedicab driver.
Oh.
That's not weird.
No.
I mean, maybe she didn't like it. But it's not really weird.
It's not like breast pump cleaning.
Yeah. Stanley Tucci. Stanley Tucci scrubbed toilets that didn't have, quote, running water. At a young age, the actor worked at a park in Westchester, New York. He called the experience too disgusting to even describe.
Yeah, I can like smell it.
Yeah.
You know?
Cleaning toilets with no running water. Stanley Tucci, one of our most respected actors. Let's see. At 17, Bon Jovi then going by his birth name, John Bongiovi, was sweeping floors at his cousin's recording studio. This led to his first recording job, singing a song on the 1980s Christmas in the Stars, a Star Wars-themed Christmas album. R2-D2, We Wish You a Merry Christmas, didn't take off as a runaway classic, Christmas classic, but it probably wasn't his fault. 17 years old.
Wow.
Singing on Christmas to the in the Stars, a Star Wars-themed Christmas album. Now people are going to go out and buy that just so they can try,
yeah,
and,
right?
try and listen to Bon Jovi's voice. They can point him out. Okay. Ashton Kutcher's first job was at General Mills. He was a, quote, cereal dust sweeper. That's the actual title. So as the cereal is being made in the factory, I guess dust particles fly out all over the place? Well, he was the guy in charge of sweeping up cereal dust. Ashton Kutcher. I don't think he was being punked. Pretty sure. How about this? This one really is, I think this one's really hilarious. I have no idea why I find this one so funny. Paul Rudd used to glaze hams.
I think it's just the word phrasing.
It probably is.
Glaze ham.
To save up money for a move to Los Angeles, Rudd got a job at Holiday Ham Company. There he would sift sugar onto a heated ham and use a propane torch so that he could melt the sugar.
And a grateful nation thanks him. Because those things are delicious.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. But that is kind of a weird, I mean, that's how it's done. A guy, just one dude with a propane torch. You'd think there'd be some sort of advanced machinery to glaze a ham. But no, Paul Rudd was doing it.
He is advanced machinery.
Yeah, I'm a fan of Paul Rudd's. I think he's great.
Me too. Did you ever do that thing where you try to guess which one of him is older?
You mean online?
Yeah, it's like an online thing. There's like,
I mean, he still looks like he's 20.
Yeah, but he'll put like stuff when he was like 20 and stuff with him now.
Yeah.
You'll think that him 20 was him older and him now is him younger.
Yeah.
It's insane.
It is pretty crazy.
So I got like 50% on the whole thing. I was like, how did I do so bad?
Because he's going to be young for the rest of his life.
Exactly.
He's got a portrait of himself in his attic. Have you seen his appearances on Conan O'Brien?
Yes.
Okay. And you know what he does every time he comes on Conan O'Brien?
I think so.
He comes on, no matter what movie he's promoting, he shows a clip from Mac and Me, the terrible E.T. ripoff. And it's always the same clip. It's always the kid in the wheelchair going down the mountain and fall off the side of the mountain.
Yeah.
And then Mac the alien coming up and going, and Paul Rudd's not even in the movie. But he comes on and shows that clip every single time.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite. It's one of my favorite things.
Like, he is so funny. He's one of those two where, I mean, a lot of the things that he does is funny, but he's one of those where you overlook him as funny because he was in Clueless and he was just kind of like the serious,
yeah.
You know, there.
Well, I mean, he's part of the whole, you know, the whole Judd Apatow, Seth Rogen thing.
Yeah.
That resurgence of guy comedy.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's part of that group. But he's also, because, I mean, he's in Anchorman. He's in all those.
Yeah,
he's 40-year-old
like
virgin.
He looks like very put together.
Oh, yeah.
So then when he does that kind of humor, it's like,
yeah.
That is his humor. That's what he's known for.
Now, have you ever seen him, do some serious stuff? You ever see this, the movie The Shape of Things?
No.
Oh, you should probably write this one down. You should see it. The Shape of Things.
Did you cry?
No.
It's not like that kind of series?
No.
The Shape of Things.
Neil LaBute wrote it. Neil LaBute is known for In the Company of Men, and he's kind of a brutal writer, especially when it comes about the relationships between the sexes.
Oh, okay.
And The Shape of Things is Paul Rudd, Rachel Weisz, Gretchen Mol. And why am I blanking on the other guy's name? But it's really kind of an unbelievable movie.
I love Paul Rudd.
You should see it.
Okay.
You should see it. It's a completely different kind of Paul Rudd than you're used to, and this is a movie that will punch you in the gut when it's all like you'll be like, oh my god, when it's at the end.
All right, I wrote it down.
Shape of Things.
Next time I see you, I'll report back.
Okay. How about Vince Vaughn?
Oh, I love Vince Vaughn.
Vince Vaughn worked as a lifeguard for his local YMCA. He was fired for being late all the time. Somehow that doesn't surprise me at all. Especially if he was working a morning shift.
I love Vince Vaughn.
Yeah, I can't say that I do.
Really?
Yeah.
I know, like, in interviews, he's not the most pleasant, but his movies, a lot of his movies are just so enjoyable.
He's in that wrestling movie I'm seeing tomorrow.
Is he really?
Yeah. He plays a WWE coach.
Yes. Okay, I do know what you're talking about.
Yeah, he's in the Fighting With My Family. He's in
that. Oh. That should be interesting.
I liked him in Swingers. I thought he was great in Swingers. You know,
Money Baby.
My favorite moment in Swingers is when they're drunk and they're at the holiday. They're at the late night restaurant that's open 24 hours, and he's got two breakfasts in front of him, and Vince Vaughn does, and Howard Johnson's. They're at the Howard Johnson's, and so at one point, like he's standing up on the booth, being really obnoxious, and then he just at one point just takes one of the breakfasts and gives it to a person behind him, puts it on the table, and I don't know why that's like my favorite moment. It was one of my favorite moments in the entire movie, but yeah, Jerry Seinfeld, and this is true, and it was incorporated in an episode of an actual Seinfeld episode. Before making it as a comedian, he sold umbrellas on the streets of Manhattan. And that's a plot point in an episode of Seinfeld. So they actually used that real part of his life.
I mean, why not?
Yeah.
That's comical.
Well, a lot of stuff came from either Larry David's life or Jerry Seinfeld's life. It would end up in the show.
Yeah.
So, Grey's Anatomy actor Patrick Dempsey. Here's a question. Now, Patrick Dempsey, of course, what is he, McDreamy or McSteamy? He's McDreamy, right?
McDreamy.
Okay. So he didn't always look like he looks now.
I know.
Because, you know, in the 80s.
Can't Buy Me Love.
Oh, my God.
I've seen it.
And he was such a dork.
Yeah,
huge dork. But, I mean, you want to talk about a guy who became, beautiful man. I mean, my God. But anyway, before Patrick Dempsey used to be a professional juggler.
I believe it.
He even joined and won second place in a national juggling competition. In turn, this landed him his first acting job. Now I'm trying to think. Did he juggle in those 80s movies?
I don't remember. I just remember he was a plain guy in Can't Buy Me Love.
Yeah. He was a dork.
Yeah, huge dork.
Yeah.
But that's why I believe the juggling thing.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah,
I don't doubt that for a moment.
Like, if I didn't know what he looked like before puberty hit, I'd be like, a juggler, wow.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, he was like a nerdy kid.
Yeah.
But you know what's interesting? If you watch Can't Buy Me Love and then you really look at him, you can see it. You still see it?
You could see that, it's like, okay, I can see why this guy filled out the way he did.
Yeah.
You know?
It's interesting.
Yeah. He was in a really terrible movie just called Run. Have you seen Run?
I don't think so.
It's so terrible.
Don't do it.
No.
Don't waste the time.
No. Because he was in another like big 80s teen movie besides Can't Buy Me Love. There was one more that he was in. And I can't remember. No. I'm thinking of John Cryer. The other dork.
Loverboy?
Yeah, Loverboy. That's the one. Loverboy. Yeah.
I've never seen that one either. I've seen Can't Buy Me Love, the Bridget Jones Baby one, but that's new.
Yeah.
Maid of Honor. Have you seen that? Are you a chick flicks guy?
No, not really.
Ugh.
Unless Matthew McConaughey's in them.
Then you're all for it.
Yeah. How about this? John Cena was the limo driver. Cena was a limo driver for 2 weeks because he got fired for having trouble finding his way around. He didn't know where he was driving.
That's hilarious. John Cena.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right. Why don't we take a quick break here, and we'll wrap this up. If you guys have a terrible job that you would like to talk about, that you had a terrible job, 312-981-7200. We got a few more celebrities here who had crazy jobs. And then we're going to jump in after the news. We're going to jump into some Jimmy Stewart movies. And that'll be coming up right after this on WGN. Hey. Hi. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio, that's me. We're here. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich comes in with the opening bell at 5. Steve Cochran at 6 has your morning drive. We've been talking about celebrities that even before they became famous, they too had to work terrible and stupid jobs. That's who we're talking about celebrities. But we're also asking you guys if you've had a weird or stupid jobs. And 309 area code said, I was a telemarketer, renewed Playboy subscriptions. It was good money, but kind of weird. All right. Justin Theroux made some extra money selling snow cones at Ringling Brothers and Barnum & Bailey Circus in Japan. That's pretty specific. The actor traveled to Tokyo with his Japanese-speaking friend, where they made and sold the frozen treats for an entire summer to help pay for college. His reason? Back then, quote, the yen was really strong. That's very specific. Selling snow cones at the Balaam and Ringling Brothers and Barnum & Bailey Circus. Hillary Clinton had a job in Alaska scooping out fish guts. She worked in a salmon factory for one summer and was immediately fired for questioning the freshness of the fish. That's a great detail. That is a great detail. Bryan Cranston did users' video interviews for a pre-internet dating company. Your filmed interview was basically your dating profile, and his job was to make sure that you came across as likable. Bryan Cranston. Okay. Let's see. Here's Donald on WGN. Go ahead, Donald.
Hi. I was a fish picker. Basically, it was an order picker in a tropical fish warehouse.
Oh.
So I'd have to go around to all these different flatbed tanks that were stacked like eight feet high, and scoop out pairs of mating pairs, if they wanted that. And we used to supply, every pet store in every department store, there was a pet store in that. So like, yeah. We supplied Goldblatts and a lot of pet stores. And there was actually a tropical fish boom back in the 70s, was actually very popular.
I remember that.
The worst thing that ever happened to me is I actually was moving an electric eel that was on display, and I put a little calm it down. I accidentally made contact with the water. I was putting some solution in there, and the thing almost like knocked me off my feet.
Oh, so. I bet, man. I bet that's dangerous. How long did you have that job, Donald?
On and off, because it was relatively seasonal, but I had it for almost 6 years.
Wow, that's a long time to have a job. That's good. All right, Donald, thanks.
It was different because eventually I was a manager, and then I used to do theater at night. So I shifted to a night shift, so I'd be on I'd show up after rehearsal and take a nap and then work till 7 or 8 in the morning and dispatch the drivers.
Wow, okay. All right, Donald, thanks for the call.
Okay, thank you.
Take care. Here's Steven on WGN. Hi, Steven.
Hello.
Yes.
Okay, about Clint Eastwood. Who, by the way, is Clint Eastwood Jr. His father was named Clint Eastwood. But anyway, before the Deadpool, he was digging them, swimming pools, that is, in California.
Right. I knew that.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you.
Yeah, I knew that. Thanks, Stephen. Yep.
Bye.
Let's see. Here is John on WGN. Hi, John.
Hello. Back in the early 1970s, when I was about 12 years old, I went to a friend's birthday party, and they had this teenage magician. At the birthday party, it was Mandy Patinkin.
Oh, wow. Wow. Oh, I can't even picture that. That's that. How did you find out it was Mandy Patinkin?
I heard somewhere that he had been a teenage magician, and we got in touch with this friend, and he said, yeah, that was the name of the kid. So he was like a 15-year-old, Mandy Patinkin.
Wow, that's something. That is really, really something. I never knew that. That's great. It's a great story. All right, John. Thanks, man.
Thanks.
Mandy Patinkin. All right. Here's John on WGN. Hi, John.
I never knew that.
Good morning, Nick.
Yeah, go ahead.
Pee-wee Herman. It was a clown. He juggled when he was a clown. When he worked in a circus,
mm-hmm.
before he became a comic.
Yeah, Pee-wee Herman had a lot of weird jobs. Well, Paul Rubens is actually his name. Pee-wee Herman is just the character he plays. But yeah, he had a lot of strange jobs. Here's another one. Are you ready for this one? John Stewart. He was a puppeteer. His puppet show aimed to teach kids how to behave towards disabled people. That's interesting. I never knew John. He was... Wow.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice. That's heartwarming.
Emma Stone used to make dog treats while working at a dog bakery.
Those are always so misleading when you go to a pet store and you see the dog treats sitting there and they look like delicious cookies.
Right, and they're not.
Yeah, they're not at all.
Wayne Brady. He dressed up as Tigger from the Winnie the Pooh and entertained tourists at Walt Disney World. When the comedian wasn't passing out from the heat inside the costume, he was being swarmed by college-age girls who would pet the mascot's stomach, but that was in the same location as Brady's crotch. I had some friends who worked at Great America and did that kind of stuff. They were in mascot costumes and said it was a nightmare. It was like just obviously a summer gig for them. They wanted to make a little money.
Pool of sweats, I'm assuming.
It was just terrible. And kids would kick him in the crotch. They would just come. I mean, you know, one of my buddies was Foghorn Leghorn. And they would, for some reason, Foghorn got kicked a lot. I'm assuming that maybe the kids were fans of the dog that he always tormented, that Foghorn always tormented. I say, boy. And you weren't allowed to talk, obviously, if you're in that thing. The worst, though, was my friend Peter, who is an actor. And a lot of actors... you know, obviously a lot of actors work at like the Bristol Renaissance Fair, do that stuff.
That's so fun.
And you know, like during Fright Fest, they need more people at Six Flags. So they hire a bunch of people to like, you know, be in the haunted house or stay in character, you know, and a lot of actors do that just to make a little money, you know, in between gigs. And so my friend Peter was in this haunted house thing and, he spent 8 hours. His head was through the hole in a table. And it looked like his head was on a tray, so that his head had been chopped off. And his arms and legs were underneath the table. So he was just like his head sticking up out of the table. And he had to spend 8 hours singing, I ain't got nobody. And he said that not only was that stupid... Not only was he uncomfortable because he was stuck, you know, his head was up through this table hole and his hands were underneath, but the kids were brutal. They came in, they threw food at him, they threw drinks on his face, and he couldn't do anything. He couldn't, like, do anything without ruining the illusion or, like, pushing the special effect aside and get his hands up. So he said it was
had to sit there?
Yeah, he would just sit there and take fries into the face and stuff.
Wow.
And then sing, I ain't got nobody. He said it was the worst. And he clearly didn't make enough hourly wage to put up with that kind of crap. So, all right. Gina Davis used to be a live mannequin, by the way.
Oh, whoa.
So, yeah. And then we'll do one more here real quick, and then we'll break for the news. Miley Cyrus's first paid job was to go on stage after her dad's show and pick up all the thrown bras and underwear women threw on, and he paid her $10.
Oh, my goodness. Right. Oh, my God.
Let's take a break for the news. And when we come back after the news, we're going to talk Jimmy Stewart movies. What are your favorites? Which ones do you love the most? What do you think are his best performances? I'm showing a classic Jimmy Stewart movie on Tuesday, and I thought we could talk a little bit about Jimmy Stewart. And we'll do that after the news, which is next. Welcome back. Hi, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. And the regular Friday features are coming up. You Big Dummy, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, Fly Jams Friday. You big dummy, you know what that is. That's when we read real dumb stories of real dumb people doing real dumb stuff, and then we vote on who's the biggest dummy. And for Straight Out of Context, that is when you listen to this radio station 24/7. Whenever anybody says something that you can pull out of context and it sounds vaguely dirty and it makes you giggle, just kind of like that promo we played for Bill and Wendy's for Bill and Wendy's show that we played the promo this morning a few times. That's kind of the kind of style of which that is. So you mark it all down, who sent it or who said it, and then you send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. nickdshow@gmail.com. Same thing with Nick D Show Spies. Listen to this station 24/7. And whenever anybody says anything about me, mentions me or the show in any capacity, you tell us you're a spy, and jot it all down and send it to Nick D Show Spies. So that's all coming up. Okay, so Jimmy Stewart, who is really one of the greatest actors of all time, and has made so many terrific movies and given so many classic performances. I am really, really excited to host a screening of one of his best movies, a true American classic, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. And he is so, so great in that movie. I think it's one of his very best performances. And I've never seen it on the big screen, and I'm very excited for Tuesday night to see it on the big screen. And we're screening it at the AMC Rosemont 18. It's $10 to get in. Parking is free. It starts at 8. I will introduce the movie. We will watch Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, and then we'll have a post-movie talk. I'll give you some stories, behind-the-scenes stuff and trivia and things like that. But beforehand, we would love you to go to Murray Brothers Caddyshack Restaurant, which is right down the street at the Crown Plaza Hotel, and have some food. And if you've got your ticket stub or proof that you are indeed going to see Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, you get 15% off of all your food purchases. So, and that's a really good deal. They've been very kind to us over at Murray Brothers Caddyshack, and we've been having a great time having our pre-show dinner at Murray Brothers Caddyshack Restaurant. So, anyway, we're going to do that, and that's this Tuesday night on the 5th of March. So get your tickets now. Reserve your seats now so that they will be waiting for you on Tuesday night, and it is amctheaters.com, amctheaters.com. So, anyway, Jimmy Stewart, legendary actor, one of the most likable actors of all time, but had an incredible amount, incredible range. I think he could do anything. We all know that he could do comedy. He could be very serious. He made a lot of westerns, which some people, forget about, but he made a lot of westerns and made some really, really great westerns as well. So, but we want to know what you guys think. What are your favorite James Stewart movies, your favorite performances? 312-981-7200. Vic, you a fan of Jimmy Stewart?
Well, anytime he's on, I'm certainly not going to change the channel. I do love his work. I wouldn't say I've seen a ton of his work, though, yeah, to be honest, because, it's one of those things, unless you're a huge movie buff, you watch what's in front of you or on, yeah, and that's kind of the way I am. But, yeah,
it's amazing.
Total respect.
I was looking at just a list of 30 of his movies,
Yeah, and I've probably seen every one of them,
It's actually kind of incredible how many sort of classic movies he's been in and how good he's been in so many movies.
Right.
I guess it shouldn't be a surprise because he's Jimmy Stewart. So, Ashley, you a fan of Jimmy Stewart?
I'm a lot like Vic, where it's like, if I see him on, I know who it is and yeah, I recognize some of his work. But I have seen Rear Window, and that was probably my favorite one.
Yeah, that's such a great movie. I showed that one in my film club, too.
That one's really interesting.
And we're doing a Jimmy Stewart double feature, actually, because this Tuesday we're doing Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, and then we're doing another Hitchcock collaboration with Jimmy Stewart in April with The Man Who Knew Too Much.
Oh, cool.
Which is a great movie. And then we're doing another Hitchcock movie. So we're doing we're combining double features here. We got Jimmy Stewart and Jimmy Stewart, and then Alfred Hitchcock and Alfred Hitchcock,
because I love Hitchcock, yes.
We're showing North by Northwest in May. So some real classics, a string of real classics featuring Jimmy Stewart and Alfred Hitchcock. I think he did some of his best work with Alfred Hitchcock. I really do. So, yeah. I got to meet Jimmy Stewart And Roy Leonard had him in to interview him. And this is late in his life, late in Jimmy Stewart's life, obviously. And this was at the time, I don't know if you guys remember this, but he used to write sort of poetry books. And he would go on Johnny Carson and he would read poems. And people used to love that. And it was really great. So he released a couple of books of his poetry. And that's what he was on to promote on Roy's show. So I went down to the station, and I was literally, I'm not kidding, I was literally shaking when I met Jimmy Stewart. I mean, the guy was an American legend. The guy was, you know, considered one of the greatest American actors of all time, and was just so beloved by everyone. And, you know, he was very old at the time, and he couldn't really hear. He had hearing aids in his ear, in his ears. He couldn't hear very well, but he was still sharp as a tack and funny as hell. It's just that, you know, his body, he was an older dude, and some of his body parts weren't working as well as they would be, you know, if you're younger. And I got to meet him, and I got to talk to him, and I literally was shaking when I met Jimmy Stewart. I was like, I am sitting next to Jimmy Stewart. I'm talking to Jimmy Stewart. And then he was really kind and really funny, and, you know, he read some of his poetry on the air with Roy, and he signed my Vertigo poster, which was just ridiculous. So I have a Vertigo poster at home signed by Jimmy Stewart. So I think that's pretty cool. So anyway, it was amazing to meet him. Obviously the biggest star I've ever met, without question. The biggest star I've ever met. I've met a lot of big stars. I have. I've been lucky enough to have a job like this and to have, you know, been associated with this radio station with Roy Leonard, who had everybody on his show. Roy used to have every celebrity that came through town. It didn't matter what kind of celebrity they were, whether they were a musician or if they were an actor or a writer, a director, you know, a singer, sports figure. It didn't matter. Roy always had them on, and they always did Roy's show. If you came to Chicago to promote anything, you did Roy Leonard's show. That was like at the top of the list. Every publicist in this city knew that, you know, one of the number one stops on your publicity tour in the city of Chicago is you do Roy Leonard's show. And so as a result of, you know, my relationship with Roy and my association with the show, I got to meet a lot of celebrities, you know, that would come through town to promote stuff. So I was lucky in that regard. So, and meeting James Stewart, ridiculous.
That's so cool. Like, even though I haven't seen many of his movies, if I met him, I would be a little starstruck, because, like, you see him every Christmas time. Like, seriously,
yeah,
it's one
that's
of those
the
main things where it's like, whoa.
He's in so many movies that have become part of the American lexicon. You know, he's one of those actors that is like, he was in this classic and this classic. And like you said, I mean, It's a Wonderful Life. You watch that every year. You watch it every year.
Yeah.
And you spend the holidays with Jimmy Stewart. That's, you know what I mean?
Pretty much.
Yeah. And that's just one of, like, dozens of movies that he made that are near to that level. Or you know, I mean, he was just incredible. And I'm so excited to show Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. I think it's one of his very best performances. Let's see. We've got some people calling in at 312-981-7200. And then you can text us, too. What are your thoughts? 312-981-7200. What are your favorite Jimmy Stewart performances in movies? Here's Steve on WGN. Hi, Steve.
Hey, I can watch Harvey over and over again.
That's such a great movie.
And Peggy Dow's role in it, the whole movie makes me laugh.
It's a beautiful movie, and it's really funny, and he's great in it. Like, that's a really, really, I mean, you know, and you know, Steve, that, you know, the guy used to be able to, he could do comedy like nobody's business. He was so funny, and he had such great timing, and he's really funny, and he's really sweet in Harvey.
But as far as the Westerns, I'm not big on Westerns, but Man Who Shot Liberty Valance, he was good in that.
Yeah, that's a great movie. That's one of the best. I mean, I'm going to go down this list, and I kind of forgot in looking at this list of his movies to just, you know, remind me of some of the titles that I wanted to mention this morning. I kind of forgot how many Westerns he did. He did a lot of Westerns.
Okay, well, I'm going to enjoy the show, and all thanks for taking my call.
All right, Steve, take care.
Yep.
All right. 312-981-7200 is the phone number here on WGN, and we're talking about Jimmy Stewart. And I really hope you guys can make it out Tuesday for one of his best movies, one of his best performances. Here's Michael on WGN. Hi, Michael.
Hey, good morning, Nick.
Morning.
Hey, there's two versions of Destry. Jimmy Stewart and Audie Murphy.
Right.
Why they call the Stewart version Destry Rides Again is beyond me, though. Which version do you like better? You seen them both?
I've seen both. I think I like Destry Rides Again the best.
Do you? I think I like the Audie Murphy version. I like Stewart in 73, Winchester.
Winchester 73. That's another one. I mean, he's made so many Westerns, Michael. It's crazy.
That's a great flick.
Yeah. It's a great movie. Great movie. Man, oh, man. So, all right. Thanks, Michael.
Hey, one sidetrack. Not only does my jewel play Robin Trower, but they also play Zappa and Floyd would bear it.
Wait, what? As like shopping music?
Oh, yeah, my local Jewel. Oh, yeah, I'm in Frankfurt, the Jewel in Frankfurt, and I was there in all.
Wow. Oh, we lost Michael. All right. Well, if you want to go to a Jewel in Frankfurt, you'll be able to jam out to some music. You can play some Robin Trower and some Pink Floyd with Syd Barrett. Might be better if you're on drugs. I'm not really sure. All right. Let's take a break here. We've got some weather that we're going to do. And then after that, we'll talk more about Jimmy Stewart and his performances and his movies. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Today, it's partly cloudy with a chance of light snow overnight and a high. Temperatures reaching to the mid and upper 30s. Tomorrow, partly sunny, breezy winds, high in the lower 30s with a slight chance of snow periodically throughout the day. For Sunday, cloudy and turning colder with some light snow expected. And the temperatures along the Lake Michigan shoreline the most. Temperatures in the low 20s, temperatures falling into their teens late afternoon. Monday, partly sunny, bitterly cold, with high temperatures shy in the teens with minus 10 to minus 20 wind chills. And then Tuesday, partly sunny throughout the day, clear nights overnight, and single-digit lows. Currently 23 degrees at O'Hare. It's 26 at Midway, 25 at the lakefront. Okay, let's check. Let's take a quick break here, and then we'll come back and talk more Jimmy Stewart right here on the show on 720 WGN. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios here until 5 o'clock, and all of our regular features are going to be coming up after the news. We'll start with You Big Dummy, move on to Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, and do a little Fly Jams for Fly Jams Friday. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. We're talking Jimmy Stewart, one of the greatest actors ever, and one of the most beloved performers of all time. And talking about some of our favorite performances and favorite movies, and I happen to be screening one of my favorites, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, on Tuesday night at the AMC Rosemont 18. He's great in that movie, and it's a great movie. And he's been great in so many movies, and that's what we're talking about here. Here's Mike on WGN. Hi, Mike.
Hey, good morning, Nick.
Hey,
how are you doing?
All right.
Yeah, he's good in all three Capra movies. even going back to the second Thin Man movie.
Yeah. Yeah, that was one of his first movies, right?
Exactly. Yeah. But I think, well, someone already alluded Winchester 73, but I like him in all those Anthony Mann westerns.
Me too.
Yeah, and but I think Anatomy of a Murder and Flight of the Phoenix are also some of my favorite performances.
I agree. Yeah, Anatomy of a Murder is such a great film.
He's, oh man, isn't it?
Oh, it's such a great movie. But I was looking at this, you know, just how many Westerns he's made, Mike, and it's crazy.
I know.
How the West Was Won.
Yeah.
Two Rode Together. The Cheyenne.
That's John Ford. Yeah.
Yeah, the Cheyenne Social Club. He's in The Shootist.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Let's see. Bend to the River. The Far Country.
Yeah, that's Anthony Mann.
That's Anthony Mann, too. The Far Country. Destry Rides Again. The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance, as we've mentioned before. The Man from Laramie. I mean, it's The Naked Spur. Winchester 73. Shenandoah. I mean, it's just, it's crazy. I guess I'd forgotten just how many Westerns he made.
I think he made three of them with his pal Henry Fonda too.
Yeah, man, oh man. Well, just a great actor. It's just he's just so wonderful to watch, man. He really
is.
Yeah.
All right.
Could do anything. All right, Mike, thanks, buddy.
Okay, Nick, take care though.
You too, man. All right. Let's see. Here is Freddie on WGNI. Freddie.
Hey, how you doing?
All right.
Oh yeah, Shenandoah, rip your throat out. You know, that was just that was a rough one there.
Yeah.
Anyhow, I was recalling, you know, Jimmy, I forgot the guy's name we're talking about here. He was at an award show, and people like Rich Little would mimic him. And Jimmy, he had a bit of a stutter.
He did, yeah.
Like, you know, and
it was more pronounced as he got older.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, you can tell that.
Yeah.
It made him look cool, too. You know what I mean? But anyway, he was giving an award out, and he started to stutter. And the crowd started to laugh at him. And it was an enduring thing, but I recall him being kind of getting down in the mouth about it a bit.
Yeah.
And I forgot what happened. And it hurt so bad.
Yeah.
Because the guy was such an icon. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if he even gave out the thing. You know what I mean? But
it came out, you know, like I said, it became more pronounced, Freddie, as he got older. And, you know, like you were saying, people would imitate him, and it became that thing. Would be like R, you know, and that became how you imitated Jimmy Stewart. And that's not really he didn't talk like that all the time, but that was your go-to, you know. So
he was great. Yes, love your show, Doc.
Thank you, man. Take care.
Yep.
All right. Just some of these other movies that he was so great in The Man Who Knew Too Much, which I'll be showing in April. You Can't Take It With You. This is a great one. Call Northside 777. Just a great movie. And The Mortal Storm is a really terrific film that not a lot of people know about. You know what? Another Hitchcock movie that he's really good in? Rope. Really, really good in Rope. You know, a smart performance, a real subtle performance. Really good. Anatomy of Murder, we mentioned already. Mentioned Harvey. The Philadelphia Story, which is a movie that I screened last year, and he's phenomenal in that movie, along with Cary Grant, and Katharine Hepburn. That's such a great movie, and that was a great movie to see on the big screen. And he's wonderful in that movie, and really, really funny. He's got a fantastic drunk scene in that movie, where he's just, oh my God, he's so funny. 262 area code says Rear Window and The Man Who Knew Too Much. Rear Window, I mean, that's one of the greatest movies ever made. It really is. 219 area code says favorite Jimmy Stewart movie is Spirit of St. Louis. He had to be by himself a lot of that movie. He did. Yeah, he did. Kurt says Call Northside 777 is a movie I keep on in my TiVo. It's based in Chicago and it's really cool to watch over and over again. I agree with you, Kurt. There's a good book out there called Jimmy Stewart, Bomber Pilot. Not many people know that he was a B-17 bomber pilot in World War II. Absolutely true. So we got The Shop Around the Corner, which, of course, The Shop Around the Corner is what became You've Got Mail. That was the modernized version. You've Got Mail is the modernized version of The Shop Around the Corner.
I love You've Got Mail.
Yeah, well, you should see The Shop Around the Corner. Yeah, because it's the real deal.
Man, I'm leaving here with like list of movies to catch up on.
You know, Ben has been saying that now. Ben and I have been working together for a couple of weeks now, you know, a little over 2 weeks. And like after every show, he's been telling me, I've been writing down lists of movies that I have to put on my must-see. List.
Yeah, when he was talking to me on the phone today, he was just like, the show's going to fly by, you're going to get new things to watch, you're going to laugh the whole time. I'm like, I'm excited.
Oh, that's nice of him to say.
Yeah, he's great.
That's nice of him to say. Yeah, he's a good guy. So to close it out, I'm very happy to be screening Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. But my favorite Jimmy Stewart performance, which I think is complex and really dramatic and kind of insane is his performance in Vertigo, which is my favorite Alfred Hitchcock movie of all time. And it's my favorite Jimmy Stewart performance of all time. I never tire of it. And how deeply strange and beautiful that movie is, and how sort of autobiographical in the terms of what Hitchcock puts into it. And he's just great in it. It's just a great performance. And that movie, that's one of those movies that you watch, you know, if you watch it repeatedly, it gets deeper every single time you watch it. You see more into it. And I've seen Vertigo. I can't even tell you the number of times I've seen Vertigo. And every time I watch it, and I'm not exaggerating, every time I watch it, something new shows up. Whether it be, you know, what Hitchcock does with the camera, or something I didn't notice before, or just in the performances. You know, Kim Novak is unbelievable in it. And again, you know, Jimmy Stewart, what can you say about his performance?
Is Vertigo what High Anxiety is?
Well, that's
based
what
off of,
it's
by Mel Brooks.
It is. I mean, essentially, yeah.
But
I mean, well, Mel Brooks covered a ton of Hitchcock.
Yes.
You know, he covered. There were gags, psycho gags. There were birds gags. Man Who Knew Too Much gags in it.
Yeah, the birds. I remember.
Well, yeah, it's the birds crap all over all over Mel Brooks. But I mean, that the high anxiety that he suffers from, that's taken directly from Vertigo.
Vertigo.
Yeah, that's taken directly from Vertigo.
That's
what
I thought when you were talking about it. I was like, you know what?
But it's, I love that you've seen High Anxiety, but you haven't seen Vertigo.
I know. I love Mel Brooks. What can I say?
No, listen, you know, I love Mel Brooks, too. And I've screened both at my film club screening. I've screened both Young Frankenstein and Blazing Saddles.
Both. Brilliant.
Amazing. But both amazing. And here's something you want your head to explode?
Yeah, I'm ready.
They both came out the same year. He made those two movies in the same year.
He is, I don't even know. Like, I did a project on him once, and when I was reading about all the things that he's done, I'm like, who is this man?
Oh, yeah.
How is he this funny, and how is he this successful in the humor that he's creating?
Yeah. And he's still with us, man.
Yeah,
still with us, and still funny as hell. Funny as hell. Okay, we got a break, and so come on out and see Jimmy Stewart on the big screen in Mr. Smith Goes to Washington on Tuesday night. Go to amctheaters.com and reserve your seats right now. The great Jimmy Stewart. Okay, we got a break. We'll get the news coming up next right here on 720 WGN.
Here's the dummy. You big dummy. You big dummy. See what you did?
Oh, no, you big dummy.
You dummy.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate Skyline studio here till 5 o'clock. And it's Friday, and that means our regular features. And we're going to start off with, you big dummy! And you all know what that is. That's when I read a dumb news story about a dumb person doing a dumb thing, read a few of them, and then we vote on who's the biggest dummy. We've been doing this for a long time. It's a lot of fun. And there is never a lack of dumbness in the world to fill this segment. So,
ain't that the truth?
Yeah, exactly right. I do want to mention that Nathaniel Taylor, who played Rollo on Sanford and the Son, passed away yesterday. And I did want to mention that, because if we're talking about Sanford and Son or playing the Sanford and Son theme, Rollo was one of the funniest characters on that show. He was absolutely hilarious. He passed away. He was 80. He had a heart attack. He had a heart attack a few days ago, and he died in the hospital. It's really sad. He was so great on that. He was on What's Happening. He did a lot of TV and a lot of movies as well. But he's best remembered as Rollo on Sanford and Son. And Fred Sanford never did not insult Rollo. So that was something he did. Anyway, so Nathaniel Taylor, rest in peace. Rest in peace, Rollo. All right, let's talk about some dummies. Dummy number one, dummy number one, dummy number one. filmmakers and writers do this exercise called storyboarding. You lay the elements of your piece out visually in little scenes or snippets, and you arrange them in a manner that's cohesive and intriguing. I'll confess right now that I'm starting to metaphorically storyboard what contains the following elements of this story. Gold Speedo, Naked Guy, Dog Park, Peanut Butter, Fantasy Football. Struggling how to arrange them. So, here we go. Maybe we'll start in reverse chronology. Last week, a 25-year-old Arlington, Texas man arrived at Bark Park Central Park in Dallas, Bark Park, Dallas, Texas, nearly naked except for a gold Speedo bathing suit. The man then covered himself in creamy Jif peanut butter and entered the dog park. He stood there for 5 minutes while dogs eagerly approached for a snack and spectators watched in confusion. His girlfriend filmed the incident. Why, for the love of God? Because he lost a bet. Stephen Trout placed last in his 12-person fantasy football league, the penalty of which is to pay $250 or perform the dog park peanut butter stunt. The thrifty Trout chose the latter. My strategy was to do it as fast as possible and hope that not many people would see me. Presumably, he regrets drafting Le'Veon Bell first.
Laws, dummy.
Dummy number two. Dummy number two. Dummy number two. Valentine's Day may have come and gone, but we're willing to bet one Kentucky man has still not stopped hearing about the gift he gave his wife. When I got up, I had my first cup of coffee, and he said, "Oh, your turnips are here." And I said, "Turnips?" Yes, Alan Harris accidentally got his wife, Nina, turnips instead of tulips, thinking that's what she wanted the night before. He wasn't paying attention, Nina said. Yes, I know, he said. I went out, got the bucket, and put the turnips in the bucket that says, "I love you," Alan said. I went in, I got her coffee, and I said, "Here you go, here are your turnips." Alan admits he wasn't really listening, so he assumed his wife wanted turnips for her garden. He did wind up getting Nina double the tulips plus candy and balloons to make up for it. Fortunately, for Alan, his wife likes root vegetables.
Before this game, you were just a plain dummy. But after the night, you'd be a broke dummy. Sold to the dummy with the black mustache.
Dummy number three, dummy number three, dummy number three. Oh, this one. Howard Webb, 31, was arrested for allegedly dipping his testicles into a restaurant customer's salsa. A Tennessee man is accused of dipping something other than chips into the salsa. Webb, in a video published by the news station, is seen seemingly putting his testicles in a cup of salsa. Someone else in the vehicle, identified as the delivery driver, is heard giggling and saying, quote, "This is what you get when you give an 89-cent tip for an almost 30-minute drive." Dinner Delivered addressed the video on Facebook, writing that the driver Webb was with was a rogue independent contractor, quote unquote, quote unquote. The identified food delivery driver engaged in criminal behavior that has resulted in indecent acts performed to customers' orders, as well as unverified claims of inserting poisonous substances in customers' drink. He's done this before. The delivery service wrote that it reported the driver to the law enforcement authorities. Webb, according to WBIR, was arrested Friday on charges with adulteration of food, liquids, or pharmaceuticals.
What kind of life do you think it is being the father of a young dummy? And for every dummy, there's a dummy.
Dummy number four, dummy number four, dummy number four. Alabama police say a dispute over crab legs at a dinner buffet ended in a brawl, left two people facing misdemeanor charges. Huntsville Police Officer Gerald Johnson says he was eating at the Meteor Buffet restaurant and then a fight broke out. Johnson tells WHN-TV that diners were using service tongs like fencing swords and plates were shattering all over the place and a woman was beating a man. Johnson says diners had been waiting in line for crab legs for more than 10 minutes and they lost their tempers once the food came out. The station reports that Chiquita Jenkins is charged with assaulting John Chapman, who suffered a cut on his head. Chapman is charged with disorderly conduct. Court records are not available to show whether either person has a lawyer. I mean, it was crab legs, after all. I mean, I got to understand.
One dummy ain't enough in this house. You got to bring home Super Dummy.
By the way, when he was talking about Super Dummy, Rollo. He's talking about Rollo.
But if you and Rollo are going to be in the movie, I got the perfect name for it. Super Dummies.
Oh, man. Dummy number five. Dummy number five. Dummy number five. This is probably a lesson on how not to go about, quote-unquote, catching them all. According to a report out of Japan, a 40-year-old Pokemon Go player allegedly punched a police officer while playing the game. According to Yahoo News, about 50 people had gathered to catch a Pokemon in a hotel lobby. However, the group was obstructing the entrance and guests were unable to get in and out of the building. A police officer attempted to disperse the crowd. However, one of the players refused to leave, insisting on catching the Pokemon. After failing to catch the monster, the man told the cop, "It's your fault I didn't catch the Pokemon." Then he allegedly decided the best way to proceed was to punch the officer. Probably not the best route to take to get to the gym leader. The man was then arrested, and he was questioned and considered that this is a lesson on ways not to play Pokemon Go. That Pokemon Go has contributed a lot of content to this segment. Lots of dumb people.
There's something for you right here. Want it. Dummy. Won't be long before we'll hear the pitter-patter of tiny dummies around the house.
All right. Now I've got a recap here, and we're going to vote. So I'll recap. Ashley, you're going to vote first. I'll vote second. And then after the recap, if you guys want to jump in here, it's 312-981-7200. First person in gets to be the third vote. 312-981-7200. Okay. So we got the first dummy, the dummy who went to the dog park covered in peanut butter because he lost a bet. We got the dummy who bought his wife turnips instead of tulips for Valentine's Day. We got the dummy who dipped his testicles into a customer's salsa. We got the dummies who brawled in a restaurant over crab legs. And the dummy Pokemon Go player who punched a cop. Those are our five dummies this week. Ashley, who are you going to vote for?
I think I'd have to go with dummy number three, the guy
who dipped his testicles.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's it. Well, that, you know, the comment about that's what you get for giving an 89-cent tip on a 30-minute ride. Okay, well, that's our dummy right here. And let's see. The Pokemon Go, like I said, we have lots of stories about Pokemon Go. I thought that, you know, and it died down for a while because at first when Pokemon Go first hit, it was you know, we used to get a story every week. About somebody sideswiping a cop car because they were playing Pokemon Go, about people falling into sewers, open sewers, because of people playing Pokemon Go. And the dog, the peanut butter thing in the dog park is just so absolutely ridiculous. I gotta go with the brawl in the buffet.
Really?
With the crab legs. I don't know. I just, you know, the fact that, I mean, it's first of all, buffet restaurants, a lot of weird stuff happens in buffet restaurants. I mean, they attract a certain, you know, there's a certain kind of customer that likes to go to buffet restaurants.
True.
And, if you're standing there for 10 minutes, if a buffet restaurant customer is standing there for 10 minutes waiting for crab legs, something bad's going to happen. But I just love the fact that they were fighting each other with the tongs like they were swords.
I love how they use the word brawl.
Brawl.
It really paints a picture.
It does.
I'm picturing chairs flying, yeah. Plates being slammed against.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No question about it. And by the way, you can't see it, but the mug shots of the woman and the man
are hilarious.
Are unbelievably funny. So we have two different ones here. So we have to have a vote that hopefully will break the tie. Because we've got the dummy who dipped his testicles in the customer salsa, and I got the dummies who brawled in a restaurant over crab legs. John, who are you voting for?
I'm voting for the turnips for the tulips, baby.
Turnips for the tulips.
Turnips.
Oh, okay. All right. Thanks, John.
Thank you.
All right. So we don't have a winner yet, so we're going to need one more. We have to break a tie here.
I actually got a text from John Hansen from Jam TV, and he said... Absolutely, dummy number three.
Dummy number three.
I think I win.
Okay, there you go. So the dummy, you win and he loses.
Yeah.
Because he's the dummy of the week. So John Hansen, of course John Hansen's going to pick that one.
Yeah, he shot me a text and I'm like, absolutely. There's no other way.
Thanks for listening, John. I appreciate it. Okay, so the dummy dipping the testicles into the customer salsa.
I mean, hey, yours was agreed with yours. The things involving food.
Yeah.
With people.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Okay, good batch of dummies. We're going to break here. We've got some weather right now. Then we'll break, and then we'll come back, and it will be time for Straight Outta Context. So when I'm in your neighborhood, you better duck, because Ice Cube is crazy as F-bomb. As I leave, believe I'm stomping, but when I come back, boy, I'm coming straight out of context, context, context. Context. What's up? Tell them where you're from. Straight out of context. 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 That's right. Welcome back, everybody. And it's Nick DiGilio here. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, and we continue with our Friday regular features. And this is Straight Out of Context. You know what this is? This is when you listen 24/7 whenever anybody at any time on this radio station says something that you can pull out of context and it sounds kind of dirty. We would like you to write it down. It makes you giggle and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. All right, Ashley, this is your first time doing the Straight Out of Context. So tell us about each clip before you play it and who sent it in.
Okay, so the first clip is said by Kevin Powell, and it was sent in by Fox Valley Mike.
That it feels like big.
he clearly must have been talking about food because he loves to talk about food. Good old K. Powell. All right, what's next?
All right, so the next one is going to be Wendy Snyder and Bill Left. And as we know, they've had a couple been played throughout our show so far, but this one's different. And it was sent in by Mark D.
They just whip it out.
I know.
This is your first time doing this segment. Over the years, Wendy Snyder has provided a lot of content for this segment.
I believe it. She's a good
lot.
Friend with my mom.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So I know their crazy stories from them in high school, which I think is so funny.
That's great. Okay.
All right. So next up, we have a Patty Vasquez one, and this is sent in by B.
I would have been impressed if you had destroyed it.
Okay.
Okay, I think this one's my favorite of all the ones, and this is Orion Samuelson, wow. And it's sent in from Kelly from Elgin.
But I've watched a lot of guys do it, and they're unbelievably fast.
It's just his voice.
It's great. It's great.
Awesome.
You know, whenever Orion appears, it doesn't happen very often, but whenever Orion appears on Straight Out of Context, and he has in the past, he and Dave Ennett are my two favorites because they're just so professional and straight laced and everything. And when they appear on the show, on this segment, it always cracks me up. Okay, Orion. Okay.
Okay, we got Matt Bubala, and it's from Streamwood Carol.
Don't take it out unless you put it in.
Come on, man!
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
All right, same one. Streamwood Carol, she found one from Lisa Wolf as well.
What does it do for you?
Ooh. Okay.
All right. And now this one is you.
Yeah.
So this that happens. Is from Bartlett Bub.
You know, I bowl left-handed and stuff, but I do other things right-handed. Okay.
All right, but
I'm not going to speak on that one.
Okay, we got Ed Farmer and Darren Jackson, and this one was sent in by B.
That's big.
Yes.
our first baseball clip of the year, our first White Sox clip of the year. Okay.
All right, we got Patty Vasquez again, and this is also sent in by B.
Oh, push. You have to push.
Oh, good. Man, oh, man. By the way, I just want you to know, Ashley, that this this segment was actually, this bit was invented by Andy Herman, my old producer, Andy Herman, from years ago. You just need to know, in case you're wondering, his favorite TV show of all time, and he's seen every episode a million times, is Three's Company. So that should tell you.
I love Three's Company.
That should tell you, you know, the sexual innuendo, yeah. The double entendre. Oh, yeah. It's built into Andy Herman's brain. So.
Oh, he probably heard these things loud and clear when he was just driving
around.
Are you
kidding? Yeah.
One thing that stood out. All right, we have another one by you, and this is from Kathy from Antioch.
All right, well, I'm going to go down here. come on, man.
All right, we have a Mary Sandberg Boyle one, and it is sent in by Margaret from Antioch.
Yeah, Dave doesn't. Dave's just rock hard.
Oh, man. Oh, they must have known that was going to end up. Oh, my God. Okay.
All right. Now we have a Wendy Snyder one again, of course. And then it's from Kelly from Elgin.
Totally. Have you ever tripped over it, Steve?
I know. That was a good one.
Okay.
All right. We have another Mary Sandberg Boyle one from Kelly from Elgin.
Turn over and get on your hands and knees.
I wonder what was going on that day.
What? What? All right. How many more do we have?
This is the last one.
Oh, good, because it's going to time out perfectly for us to break for the news.
All right, and then we have, it's from Carl Amari, and Streamwood Steve sent it in.
All right.
It's a really nice package.
See, this is another thing. Anytime someone says the word package on this radio station, immediately my listeners start writing stuff down.
Oh, my God. So. I've already had some people send in like three so far from just our conversation.
Yeah, I bet.
I
bet.
This is so awesome.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Ashley. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Take a break. We got the news coming up. And then after the news, we got Nick D's show Spies. And then we'll get funky and Fly Jam Friday.
Spies.
Hey.
Someone took your plans away. So what's all of us? There ain't nobody. Spies.
Spies. Spies. Like us.
Yeah, there it is. You know what that means. It's time for Nick D Show Spies, another regular Friday feature of ours. And this is when you listen to this radio station 24/7. And whenever anybody mentions me or the show in any capacity, we want to know about it. You become a spy. Jot down the day, the time, who said it. And again, send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. And keep that email address around for all of the regular features. nickdshow@gmail.com. Okay. What do we have going, Ashley?
All right, we have four spies for today, and the first spy was sent, our first spy is Brian, and this clip is John Williams talking with Pam Jones and Elif Guris about Jewel.
The Jewels.
Yeah, I think it's the Jewels. What does Nick DiGilio say? I believe Nick says the Jewels.
He also says Jewels.
Jewels.
Someone just texted Jewels. That
Yeah,
as well.
I think it's, that's, I don't know, we may have to agree to disagree on that one.
No, it's the Jewels. It's the Jewels. I worked at Jewel. What's really funny, Ashley, is, you know, I've been doing this show for a really long time, you know, and I used to work at Jewel years ago. I worked there, and I worked there for like 11, 12 years. And so I'm aware that the actual name of the grocery store is Jewel. I know that. It was on my paychecks. Yeah. I know that it's, but in Chicago, a lot of people say, let's go to the Jules. They say the Jules. And that's it's a Chicago thing.
Really?
Oh, yeah. No, it's a Chicago thing.
I said, let's go to Jewel.
Yeah, well, you're
I'm
young,
rare.
Though.
Yeah.
Young. Yeah. I think it might be an older thing. But a lot of people say, let's go to the Jewels. You know, it's like Soldier's Field.
Yeah.
Let's go to Soldier's Field. People add like an S where there shouldn't be an S. So I say the Jewels in jest. I do it as a joke. And it still makes people mad. Like, they will call up whoever's producing my show, and I'll say, yeah, so I went over to the Jewels, and then they'll call up and go, it's not the Jewels. It's called Jewel. Doesn't he know it's called Jewel? And then my producer would have to explain, yes, it's a bit. He's doing a joke. He's been doing this joke. He's been doing the Jewels joke for you know, years now, and people still get angry about it when I say it. So that's another reason why I'm encouraged to say the Jewels.
That's hilarious.
By the way, you're familiar with JoJo, right?
JoJo the clown?
The Jewels mascot?
Oh, no.
You don't know JoJo?
No.
Oh, he's the best. I have a JoJo bobblehead in my office and a stuffed toy.
No way.
Yeah, he's the best. He's a one-eyed he's a furry one-eyed monster. So, you look it up online.
All right.
Look it up online. There's another thing to write down.
JoJo the Jewel.
It's JoJo. Just JoJo Jewel. Just JoJo Jewel-osco.
No way.
And someone posted a video on my Facebook page of JoJo dancing with a new employee at a grand opening. Sorry?
He's gone now, right?
Who?
JoJo.
No, he's new.
Still at the, he's new.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, JoJo is a recent, I think he just celebrated like his year anniversary as the mascot of Jewel.
So, cool. I'll look it up.
JoJo, he's the best. Okay, the Jewels. All right, what's next?
All right, the next spy is Dan from Lake Geneva, and it is John Hansen has a Nick D fan call in.
Yes, hi, guys. Good show. I just wanted to remind you what Nick DiGilio always says.
Oh, that's always trouble. That's a great way to start.
Yes, that's why married people live longer than single people is because marriage is a slow death.
Yeah.
That's a good line. That's
well... I've been married twice, so let's just leave it at that. Let's just leave it at that. Okay. All right. Okay.
We have our next spy is Peter from Decatur. He did double duty for this one. So this is the first one he found, or heard, I should say. And the caller tells Dean Richards about Nick D food movie scenes.
One of the three films in the trifecta of comedy, Nick DiGilio would say. It's from Animal House. It's in the cafeteria, and John Belushi is just going down the line and stuffing every bit of food he can in his mouth.
Fantastic.
And then, of course, he just smashes his cheeks, and then
Yeah. Yeah. That's one of the holy trinity of comedy, as I call it. The holy trinity of comedy is Animal House, Caddyshack, Stripes. That's the...
Oh, I haven't seen the third one, but I've seen Animal House and Caddyshack.
Oh, you got to see Stripes. Gotta see Stripes.
Writing that down.
You gotta see Stripes.
Same but those, era?
Yeah, I mean, Animal House was 78, Caddyshack was 80, Stripes was 81, and there's a common thread between all three of them, and it's Harold Ramis.
Oh.
Harold Ramis directed and co-wrote Caddyshack. He wrote Animal House. He wrote and appears in Stripes.
Oh wow!
And he was one of my comedy heroes. He passed away way too young, but you take those trilogies and you take that trilogy of comedy, that incredibly impactful trilogy of comedy, and the one thing that it all has in common is the great Harold Ramis.
Oh wow!
So yeah, I just wanted to make sure because I know the caller mentioned that it was Animal House, but I wanted to make sure the other two were mentioned.
Yeah,
Caddyshack and Stripes. You should see Stripes. It's really funny. Bill Murray, Harold Ramis, Warren Oates, John Candy. It's really funny.
What's it about?
These two goofballs. Bill Murray plays this slacker who's a taxi driver, gets fired from his job. His girlfriend leaves him, decides to join the Army, and Harold Ramis just kind of tags along. So they join the Army and they go to basic training. And then they end up in Italy rescuing their squad from being kidnapped. And they have an RV that's fully armed. It's hard to explain, but it's basically about two goofballs.
Yeah.
Well, one goofball who talks another goofball into joining the Army with him. That's essentially what it's about.
Okay, awesome.
And the first half of the movie is their basic training, and the first half of the movie is ridiculously funny. So the second half is good, too, but the first half is just, it's like nonstop comedy.
All right, sweet. I got to check it out. I love that type of era of movie, like early 80s, yeah. 70s films.
Yeah. Those are, the, you know, that's sort of my era of comedy. Because,
yeah,
because
it was just like less, I don't know, I was censored, but not really censored, you know?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, if you're a Mel Brooks fan, then you that kind of stuff.
Oh,
but like, you know, Animal House came out in 1978. I was 13, and I saw it 800 times. And there's a lot of boobs in it and swearing and all that stuff. And as a 13-year-old boy, I thought it was fantastic. I was 15 when Caddyshack came out, and I was 16 when Stripes came out. These are formative years for a young man who likes Saturday Night Live and comedy.
True.
So that's why they're in there. A lot of people would add Blues Brothers to the mix, but I'm one of the only people on the planet that doesn't like the Blues Brothers.
Yeah, I got it. No, I'm with you. I think the hype is too much.
Yeah. I just, I mean, the music's great.
It's a classic.
Music's great.
But it's, yeah, the hype in my eyes is just slightly too much.
Yeah. I don't think it holds up nearly as well as those other three.
Oh, no, definitely not. So I'm with you on that one.
All right, cool.
Look at that.
We have one more?
Yes, we do have one more.
Okay.
And it was, again, a spy, Peter from Decatur. He sent it.
Peter from Decatur is one of our best listeners. He's a guy who listens all the time. And he has shown up at my film club stuff, and he contributes to texts when we ask for texts, when we do our music bump requests, like your Triple Play Thursday or your Wild Card Wednesday. He always gets requests in. And he contributes to the Friday morning stuff a lot. He listens all the time, and I really appreciate it, Peter.
He's like the ultimate spy for you.
He is. Okay.
All right, so this is Dane Neal talks to Bill and Wendy about Oscars and Nick.
You filled in very late last night, didn't you, Dane?
So the last 3 days in for Nick DiGillo, you know how he loves movies and the Oscars, and he decided to approach the Oscar party kind of like a Mardi Gras situation, and it just keeps going. The party never stops. So.
He is sick. Do not lie. Nick is sick.
Yeah.
I was just trying to enhance the brand, you know, like a rock star. You know, you just say that they've trashed the hotel room because for the fan base.
Although Nick is too honest because he keeps posting on his Facebook page, I feel like crap, couch, soup, TV, you know? So he's letting
we've had fun.
Are you in for the rest of the week for him, Dane?
You know what? I don't know because he's such a cloak and dagger guy. And, of course, you know, you never know. One of those, you know, amazing recoveries and in this day and age, those inspirational stories, and he's open to rise.
Yeah. I came back Thursday. I will say this. He was right about me taking Monday off because of the Oscars. I also want to make it clear that I don't party anymore. I want to make sure people know that. I used to party like a maniac and drink a lot. So I don't want any indication out there of like, oh, he took off because he got too drunk at an Oscar party and he needed to recover. That's just not the case at all.
You were just dying.
I always take the Monday after the Oscars off because I need to sleep because I start watching the Oscars coverage at like 11 in the morning. And then I watched all the red carpet stuff. I watched the entire thing, and it doesn't end until 11:30 at night. And it would have to be here like midnight. So that means there's an entire Sunday I don't sleep. So that's why I take the Monday off. It has nothing to do with me partying like a Mardi Gras. And yes, I did get sick. I was legitimately sick on Tuesday and Wednesday. Still kind of recovering, not 100% yet. But yeah, so I was sick. Wendy was right. So the Oscars. Did you watch the Oscars?
I didn't get a chance to, no, because I was doing a radio show over at my school.
Oh.
I should have done like a live coverage thing. I don't know what I was thinking.
Yeah. It was pretty good. They didn't have a host, and it was a half an hour shorter
have a host?
Yeah, no host.
No way.
Oh, yeah. They wanted Kevin Hart. They hired Kevin Hart to do it, and then all the controversy about his homophobic tweets from the past came out, and he dropped. And then
I hear about the homophobic tweets.
For over 3 months, they were trying to figure out, what should we get a host, and when you get a host, and they didn't get a host.
Was it?
And it turned out fine.
Great. Wow.
It turned out fine. And it was like I said, it was a half an hour shorter than last year. So that could say something. I mean, they didn't. Basically, it didn't open up with a 15-minute monologue. Like, you know, because when you have a host, that host comes out, does a 15 to 20-minute monologue, destroying the room.
True. Some songs.
And then they opened up with it's Queen and Adam Lambert came out.
Oh, nice. That's right.
And they performed. So, yeah. I hate Queen right now.
Really?
I hate Brian May and I hate Roger Taylor right now because they allowed that lying piece of garbage, Bohemian Rhapsody, to basically pee on Freddie Mercury's grave by having the most inaccuracies I've ever seen in any movie. It's an incredible insult to the memory of Freddie
Mercury.
Never
saw it.
It is a terrible movie. It was the worst movie last year.
And they won a lot, didn't they?
They won some technical awards, sound, and Rami Malek won Best Actor, which I guess was going to be a given. If it would have won Best Picture,
you would have.
Yeah, I would have destroyed my apartment.
Left.
I would have destroyed my apartment.
Your house on
it would have been. It would have just been unbelievable. So anyway.
Well, okay. Well, then I will cross that off my list.
I will say this though: a lot of people like it.
I know my mom really liked it,
yeah.
But a lot of people that I've also talked to said that they didn't like the inaccuracies.
It's a bunch of lies.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of lies. At one point in the movie, they move his actual diagnosis. Well, they change it. They, in order to have like an emotional ending. Because it ends with the Live Aid performance.
Mm-hmm.
And they do a nice job recreating the Live Aid performance. But you know what? The actual Live Aid performance is online, and you can watch it. You can actually watch it on YouTube. You can watch the real Freddie Mercury and the band perform the entire Live Aid set. And it's brilliant, and it's awesome. You don't need to see some recreation for some terrible movie. So what they did was, and this is the most unforgivable, and there's inaccuracies throughout the entire movie. How he got into the band, how they met, all of that stuff. It's all lies. It's all lies. And it's also, on top of that, it's all very, very, like, Lifetime movie made-for-TV-like.
Oh.
It just covers the basic. It's like a Wikipedia page with inaccuracies. That's what it's like watching.
Oh, wow.
So, the most unforgivable lie. First of all, according to the movie, they kick him out of the band because he wants to do a solo record. When in real life, Brian May and Roger Taylor both did solo records before Freddie Mercury did. So that's the reason they kick him out of the band in the movie. And then he's got a tail between his legs. He's got to beg to come back into the band, which never happened. And then he gets diagnosed with AIDS. And then begs to get back into the band so that they can do this Live Aid performance. So the problem is the Live Aid performance took place in 1985. And Freddie Mercury was diagnosed with HIV, not AIDS, HIV at the time. In 1987. So they moved his diagnosis 2 years early so they could have some sort of fake emotional ending to the Live Aid performance. It's unforgivable. It's unforgivable. It's also a really bad movie, just in general. Rami Malek is good, though.
Yeah.
He came, he did his homework, he did his job. He had a terrible script, but, you know, like, he had the mannerisms down, he had the voice down, the performance stuff.
I think that's why my mom liked it a lot, because she loves Freddie Mercury.
Oh, so do
and
I.
For him to recreate that vibe,
well,
I think she
the
really
reason I hated the movie is because I love Freddie Mercury.
So much, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, don't lie about this guy, man. He's one of the greatest frontmen in the history of music and was a really interesting dude. And you know Sacha Baron Cohen was supposed to play him, right?
Yeah, I did, actually.
Okay, and the reason he dropped out?
Because of the script?
Yeah.
Wow.
He's like, no, you can't whitewash this.
Yeah.
You can't do this. These are lies. I want to make a real movie about Freddie Mercury. So that's why he left.
Interesting.
So, yeah. Anyway, I'm sorry I went off on I've been going off on Bohemian Rhapsody since the damn thing came out 5 months ago. So, anyway. All right. We have to break, and I promise we'll play some funky music on Fly Jams Friday. Thanks for all your work.
Hey, no problem.
All right. I got some weather to do for you here. Here's your forecast from the WDN Chicago Weather Center. For today, partly cloudy with a chance of light snow overnight. High temperatures reaching the mid to upper 30s. For tomorrow, partly sunny, breezy winds with a high in the lower 30s. Chance of light snow periodically throughout the day. And then for Sunday, cloudy turning colder with some light snow expected along the Lakeshore Drive. Highs in the lower 20s, and the temperatures are going to fall to the teens later in the afternoon. And then Monday, partly sunny, bitterly cold with a high temperature shy of the teens with negative 10 to negative 20 wind chills. And then for Tuesday, partly sunny throughout the day, clear skies overnight, and then a low in the single digits. It is currently 24 degrees at O'Hare. It's 26 at Midway, 25 at the lakefront. All right, we'll take a quick break, and we'll come up, play a few funky songs here for Fly Jam Friday.
When I grew up on the farm, fly was something we sprayed to kill, and jam was something we put on our breakfast toast.
Jam. Fly Jam. Fly Jams Friday.
Oh, yeah. This is Fly Jam Friday. Your overnight radio with my man, Nick D, on 720 WGN.
Yeah. Fly Jams Friday. Yeah. Nick DiGilio here, and we're going to play some Fly Jams. And so, actually, let me explain really quick. That was obviously Orion.
Yeah.
Did not understand the term fly jams. He understood fly that you kill with spray on the farm, and then jams that you would put on your breakfast toast.
So I love how technical he is.
That's our intro. That's why as soon as he said that, that was like, well, that's going to be the intro to the segment. But that and awesome. That the song that we play for this segment every week is "Just Got Paid" by Johnny Kemp, the late great Johnny Kemp, passed away a few years ago, and it's my favorite fly jam of all time. And fly jam has some kind of a wide ranging, you know, meaning. It's anything that's really funky, anything that's a great R&B, especially the stuff from the late 80s, early 90s. That's the stuff that falls under that, the you know, like the New Jack Swing stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know, your Belle Biv DeVoe. That's kind of the stuff that we're talking about. The Johnny Kemp, that sound that you just heard, that's like a late 80s, you know, New Jack.
Funky fly jam.
Exactly. That's why we call it fly jam. And we've been doing this for a long time. And it all happened because of my old theater company, the Factory Theater Company, company I was with for... Geez, I don't even know how many years, 16, 17 years. They did a show called, it was a musical version of a show they did years ago. Poppin' and Lockin', Dance the Right Thing, and it was a musical version of it. And all of the music was inspired by those late 80s, early 90s jams. And so I had the cast in. And I was interviewing them, and they were telling me about the play, and we were talking about how great the Factory Theater is and all that cool stuff. And then they performed a couple of songs, and it was really cool. And then when they left, Dan Shugrue and I were talking about that era of music, which is one of his favorite eras of music as well. So we played. I said, "Can you find it?" I said to Dan, "I said, can you find 'Just Got Paid' by Johnny Kemp online? Can we hear that?" And he's like, "Okay, sure." And he found it. And then it spun out of control, and it became this thing where it's like, okay, find this song, find that song, find this song, find that song. And we ended up playing, like, I don't know, like 20 songs that morning, just back to back to back, that we found online that fell under that umbrella of fly jams. And then so we've been doing it ever since, and it's been years. It's been years. So I just wanted to explain the history of the fly jams segment to you. Yeah, it's great. It's great. And I still love, I mean, I love Just Got Paid. I love that song. And that was the only hit Johnny Kemp had, though, unfortunately. He is one of those one-hit guys, but it's a jam. It's a fly jam. And the video is great, too. It's got all those, like, choreographed dance moves that are all 80s, like late 80s.
Yeah, I can totally
picture
it.
It's fantastic. All right, well, we've got some fly jams here. This is Salt and Pepper, who definitely fall under the fly jam umbrella.
Let me know something. I don't know. You say you like me, so what's up? You know what I'm
you
saying?
You said it loud, and I heard you never tried to hurt you. Some say I'm old fashioned. I like to take my time and do it slow. You know, with the flow, but don't try to rush it.
Yeah. Salt and Pepper, man. I love Salt and Pepper.
At first, I thought it was going to be Push It.
Yeah, no, well, Push It, you know, they've had a few songs. They had with En Vogue. They had What a Man, What a Man, What a Man, What a Mighty Good Man, which is a jam. But no, Salt and Pepper are great. I saw them on a bill with, man, this was an incredible bill. I saw them with, see if I can remember this. It was Kid and Play, Heavy D and the Boys, Salt and Pepper. One other act and Public Enemy.
Oh, wow.
And it was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. I can't remember the other act, but they were all amazing.
All right. Oh, wow.
Yep. Here's Joe Public. being fly. Live and learn. Joe Public. I think Joe Public, like Johnny Gill, only had one hit, if I remember correctly, and that was it. So shorter fly jams this week, but we did them nonetheless, and we'll be back to do them again next Friday. Ashley, so great to work with you.
Yeah, it was really fun.
It was really
fun.
A lot of fun. You did a great job, and
Thank you so much.
I appreciate all the work you did this morning.
Hey, you helped me stay awake, but I'm just having a fun time.
But cool, and I will see you around the hallways.
Oh, you definitely will.
Okay,
yes.
Cool.